before there was Moses and Elijah. Part 4. This message, consisting of three parts, was originally preached by Brother Amos on Sunday the 18th of November 2018 at the 2018 November Convention at Bible Faith Tabernacle, Lagos, Nigeria. It has since been written from scratch by Brother Amos in December 2020 and now consists of four parts, this being the concluding fourth part. The pages of the Bible are surely coming to life as we have been taken on a wonderful journey into the mind of God from the very beginning of time. We thank God for His continuing light. Church, we will simply continue our message titled Before There Was Moses and Elijah. In the last segment, part 3, we stopped with the consideration of a few very relevant and crucial prophetic quotes of Elijah, as well as some material quotes of the Apostle Paul of this same time, who both pointed forward to what can only give us the lead ministry of completion, the apostolic lead ministry guaranteeing divine unity of the faith, the ministry that takes us up. We ended that segment, proving by the sermons of Brother Branham and by the Holy Scriptures that the message moves on, and that indeed it has moved on, for it has outlived Elijah. We stopped short of answering the key question, a fundamental question, which is this: how does a message move on, and in what measure does it move on? Brothers and sisters, it moves on through another anointed vessel of truth, another divine blueprint holder, adding further light, thereby brightening the picture of the message of redemption, bringing revelatory depth and clarity to the message of redemption. May I warn, brothers and sisters, that it does not move on in a stagnant measure, as the Branham movement ridiculously and falsely believe and preach, for that will seriously offend and nullify the application of Proverbs 4 verse 18, and a host of other scriptures. And we all know that the scripture cannot be broken. John 10 verse 35. Furthermore, it is totally impossible for the message to move on in a stagnant measure, not only because God's great plan of redemption moves on, but also because the revelation of the Lord is progressively given, and hence, it is continuous, always continuous, and never stagnant. For us finite, limited creatures that we all are, we must know that we cannot know the infinite, unlimited, God enough, and as such, our revelation of the Lord is inherently progressive, and hence, inarguably, it is continuous. In other words, and regardless of what the Branham movement say to the contrary, the moving on of Elijah message necessitates and requires another carrier of the standard of truth, finally ending up with the lead ministry of completion. Full stop. That is precisely why the angel of the Lord plainly declared on the Ohio River in 1933 that Brother Branham will take a message that will forerun the second advent coming of Jesus Christ, because it is his message that foreruns, and not his person, which is precisely why the prophet is now dead and has been for over 5 decades, but it is his message, the message of redemption, which is the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, that moves on. However, it is now on a very different level to what the prophet brought, for it is now in a much greater measure, for the light being continuously added throughout all these decades, and the fan in the message of Elijah having almost all been removed, scripturally cleared, resolved, and of a truth, the message has been made, not just clearer, but it is now absolutely crystal clear, extremely richer, much deeper, and immensely wider than what Elijah brought, being a continuing and concluding message that is borne by the ministry of completion, the man whose ministry foreruns the mystical return of Christ, as the end type of Enoch and Joshua. Speaking specifically about this messenger of completion, the man who literally foreruns Christ's mystical coming on January the 12th, 1961, when Brother Branham was taking questions and answers, in paragraphs 384 to 391, he clearly stated, "Listen, brethren, I adjure you before Christ that you hold this part of your peace," meaning that he wants to say something that pertains to our peace, and as such, we need to catch what he now says, but if you were spiritual, you will understand. See, don't you know what the very first thing he, the angel of the Lord, said down there on the river, Ohio River, in 1933? Don't you remember what he said? as John the Baptist was sent forth to forerun the first coming of Christ, your message. It's the message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. That's what the angel of the Lord said. Now notice. Now, as John the Baptist. Now, all of you have heard that. You read it in books, and heard people that stand in the hearing it, and everything else. When that angel itself spoke that message, as John the Baptist was sent forth to forerun the first coming of Christ, you are sent with this message. Will forerun the second coming of Christ. Now, the message. Now, if you'll notice, let every eagle of God now listen most attentively, as Elijah now openly admits, confessing. Now, I'm going to be honest as I can be. I don't think I'd have anything to do with that messenger. See, that's right. I believe that I am maybe being sent for a part in his church to help build that message up to a place to where it would want this for when he comes, that he will come. But I believe, me being what I am. I believe that I have the message of the day. I believe that this is the light of the day. And I believe it's pointing to the time coming, you see. I believe that the message that he said down there, the message that you have. Skipping to paragraph 391, Brother Branham declared plainly and categorically to all who have ears to hear. But let me say this, that there will come a message of completion, and there will come a messenger of completion. I believe that if it's to be a man, it'll be somebody after me. See, did you hear that? We will take it again. But let me say this, that there will come a message of completion, and there will come a messenger of completion. I believe that if it's to be a man, it'll be somebody after me. See, question mark, it'll be. But this message that I'm preaching is the true message of this day, and it's the last message that must go on in its continuing, climaxing, and concluding measure, in its full revelatory content. The prophet now threw a fan, confusing the picture for tears, adding, "You see what I'm doing, brethren. I'm putting you all the same place I am, 'cause you're just as much into it as I am. You're messengers of this same message. You all know, scripturally speaking, that we are not all messengers, for we are not all in the ministry, and neither are we all standard bearers of the message. The messenger Brother Branham spoke of here is the messenger of completion, and his message standard is what will get the bride in tune and in full state of spiritual preparedness for the return of Jesus Christ. It is the ministry through which the divine objective of the redemption of the royal bride in this seventh age will be realized. Saints of God, coming to another very pattern and quote of Elijah, do you know what Brother Branham Father said when he was preaching on March the 24th, 1963, in his message titled, The Seventh Seal, speaking about the elect royal bride, God's rainbow fish, in paragraph 291, the prophet testified, saying, I was standing by the fishing waters with a little baby's fishing line, when he, the angel of the Lord, told me, said, now make your first pull, which was divine healing, the first stage or level of his ministry. And when you do, the fish will run after the lure, said, then watch your second pull, which was discernment, knowing the thoughts in the hearts of men, which was the second stage or level of his ministry, said, because it will only be small fish that the first and second pulls will attract and catch. He said, then the third pull will get it. And the third pull, which was the third stage or level of his ministry, is the supernatural unveiling of the word, under which the revelation of the mysterious seals in Revelation chapter 6 came. In other words, and in simple terms, the angel of the Lord was precisely saying this, it is the third pull that will catch the bride. It is under the third pull that the original pure seed bride will be reproduced, right here at this harvest time in Laodicea, in this third and final move of God for the elect bride. So, we can see that Brother Branham also took the end reality, the end accomplishment of the redemption of the bride, away from himself. He took the end accomplishment of redemption, and put it forward, because the third pull did not stop with the death of William Branham. And it will not stop, but rather, the third pull goes on, for it is the divine unveiling of the deep and precious things of the Spirit of God, for the unparalleled and matchless adornment of the souls of the royal bride of the royal King Jesus, ending in the thunders, And in case someone wants to challenge me on this, in paragraphs 298 to 301, Brother Branham stated, "And you watch carefully," a voice come said, "You can't teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things," said, "Now let them alone." And neither can you teach the Branham movement divine revelation of the Holy Scriptures, for it is just like speaking gobbledygook, for they have no understanding of anything, and they have absolutely no clue, nor can you tell them that. They also must just be left alone in their chronic unbelief and gross idolatry. The prophet continued, stating, "And just then he picked me up. He took me up, and set me way up high, to where a meeting was going on. Look like a tent or a cathedral meeting of some sort. And I looked, and there was a little box, like little place over in the side. And I seen that light. The angel of the Lord was talking to somebody above me," which gives us the climaxing and concluding ministry of John, the ministry of completion, bringing conclusion to the third pool. That light that you see there on the picture, it whirled away from me like that, and went over the tent, and said, "I'll meet you there," and said, "This will be the third pool, and you won't tell it to nobody. Let all the children of light hear this, for this is a clincher to the truth that the third pool, although it began with the ministry of Brother Branham, nevertheless, it goes beyond his ministry," which is precisely what the prophet now declared, speaking strictly prophetically, and in Abino Canyon, he said, "This is the third pool, and there's three great things that goes with it, three great things that go with the third pool, and one unfolded yesterday, the other one unfolded today, and there's one thing that I cannot interpret, because it's in an unknown language, which flew before him, and which is the third one, a great thing, which in paragraph 323, he tied to the seven thunders, continuing on in paragraph 300, about the third great thing of the third pool, Brother Branham said, "But I stand right there and look right straight at it. In that prophetic vision, one great thing which Brother Branham now spoke prophetically about, plainly declaring, and this is the third pool coming up. Brother Branham knocks on the pulpit three times, editor, and the Holy Spirit of God. Oh my! That's the reason all heaven was silent, firmly and irrevocably tying the third pool to the opening of the seventh seal in Revelation 8 verse 1, under which the seven thunders are ignited. However, and as we all know scripturally speaking, the first great thing of the third pool that is coming up still gives us the prophetic ministry of John, the lead thunder, to whom Archangel Michael will come with the fully open scroll, for his total consumption, thereby igniting his prophetic anointing. We have laid out the truth about the three great things of the third pool in our scribe, titled, The Threefold Mystery of the Seventh Seal. Then Brother Branham added in paragraph 301, saying, "Now, I bet to stop right here, see. I just feel checked, not to say no more about it. See. What a day is coming for the elect royal bride of Jesus Christ. It pays to walk in the light, this beautiful scriptural light of Christ. The revealed truth of God is enough for me. I want nothing more, and I want nothing less, and I want nothing else, than the revealed truth of Jesus Christ of the Holy Bible." Church, all these testimonies synchronize perfectly with what the angel of God said on the Ohio River in 1933, that it is the message of Elijah, and not his person, that will forerun the second coming of Christ, because in the Holy Scriptures, the Lord has foreordained another man whose lead ministry will forerun Christ's return for his bride. Which is precisely why Brother Branham is no longer here, but today, his message goes on, because the message is continuous, for it is all about Jesus Christ. So, I ask you tonight, what is the message? What is the message of Elijah? We have a publication, a little book, titled, What is the Message of Elijah? Brothers and sisters, the message is not about William Branham. The message is the Bible message of Jesus Christ that Apostle Paul bore for the entire elect Gentiles, the universal nation of the bride. The message is the message of Jesus Christ. The message is the message of the Holy Bible, and it is a message that is progressively given, for there is only one message of redemption, and it is all about Jesus Christ. It is all about the Holy Scriptures. You must never forget the message of redemption is one, and it is all about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Redeemer. Therefore, it is not about William Branham, but it is all about Jesus Christ. For the message of God's redemption that we possess, we have it solely, exclusively, through Jesus Christ, and not through Brother Branham. Salvation being the main theme, the central theme, the focal message of the Holy Bible. Therefore, if you heard Brother Branham correctly, you get back to the Holy Bible, because the message of Elijah is the Bible restoring message of Jesus Christ, for it is all about God's great plan of universal redemption. Anything else is idolatry. Let me come to the highlight of our message this evening. I appreciate your patience. Thank you all for bearing with me, and that includes the saints online. Brothers and sisters, just bear with me a little while more. After all, at the meeting in Troas, in Acts 20, Apostle Paul was going to travel back the following day, but he had a long way to go in his message, because he had so much on his heart to share with the saints, and as such, he preached from evening till morning. Please do not be afraid, for I am not going to keep you till midnight, let alone keep you till the morning. I will not even keep you till 10 o'clock. So, please, bear with me tonight, because I am at the highlight of my message, and may God help me with its delivery. I am trying to show you something crucial, a pivotal truth, and it is this: I do not care where you go in the Holy Bible, whether it is to the turning of our hearts to our apostolic fathers according to Malachi 4 verse 6b, whether it is to the midnight cry of Matthew 25 verse 6, or whether you even consider the days of the sounding of his voice as a seventh star in Revelation 10 verse 7, it is all about the message of redemption of the universal bride of Christ, which he bore, and not about William Branham, proving inarguably that there has to be a ministry of completion, the ministry of conclusion. Because like Moses, in the church in the wilderness, Brother Branham is no longer here, but the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ is still here, and as such, God has to have another man who will carry the divine blueprint of universal redemption in its ending move, its ending phase, for the realization of the end objective of why God called us out of Babylon in the first place. Because God called us out of the world of organized religion, so that he can take us up. There is a chosen vessel that was used to bring us out, a man who carried the standard, a man who carried the blueprint of Gentile redemption. And there is also a chosen vessel, a man that is also being used to continue the work, so that he can take us up, a man who is carrying the standard, a man who carries the blueprint of Gentile redemption. And you cannot place the ministry on any man, except the man that the Holy Bible gives to us. And exactly who is that man? It is none other than the very man whom God called from heaven, in Revelation 10, verse 8, and instructed to go to Jesus Christ, characterized in the Spirit by Archangel Michael, the mighty angel, to take the open scroll of redemption from his hand, and eat it up. It is the man who eats the entire scroll of redemption, bearing the complete revelation of the entire plan of redemption. For as I must warn you tonight, there is no thunder who eats the scroll of redemption, except John. It is not William Branham who eats the scroll of redemption. It is only Apostle John who eats the entire scroll of redemption. And what does that show us? It clearly shows us that the completion of the redemption of the universal nation of the bride is accomplished under John's ministry. Because the eating of the entire scroll of redemption shows that the fullness of the revelation of Jesus Christ pertaining to the gospel of redemption is in John, and equally, that the fullness of the prophetic revelation of Jesus Christ is also in John, for both written and unwritten revelation of Jesus Christ is invested in the man who eats the complete scroll of redemption, because the open scroll gives us the entire revelation of Jesus Christ. This is absolutely and scripturally so, because whatever has a beginning point must have an ending point. And if the beginning of the redemption of the Jews from Egypt gave us the ministry of Moses, and the completion of the redemption of the Jews in the day also gave us the ministry of Joshua, what about that of the royal bride of Jesus Christ? The beginning of the redemption of the universal nation of the bride, which began in the first age of Christendom, also gave us the ministry of Apostle Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles. Unfortunately, however, the early original church fell and went into Babylon, into Roman Catholicism in the Dark Ages, where she eventually died, for she was soon caught following his law of seed reproduction, just as Israel went into apostasy. And through the Protestant Reformation movements, her Lord daughters were produced for the great whore, the Roman Catholic Church, giving us here at the opening, beginning of this last age, an enlarged coast of Babylon the Great, the world of organized religion, in which all the elect bright seeds of God were scattered. Consequently, on the full authority of Revelation 18, verse 4, Matthew 25, verse 6, Malachi 4, verse 6b, and Revelation 10, verse 7, in this seventh and final age of Christendom, God anointed Elijah, and he carried a Bible restoring message, a pollination message, by which the elect universal nation of the bride was called out of Babylon, giving us the beginning of redemption of the royal bride, as God slowly brings back original seed. Therefore, the Elijah ministry of William Branham is the beginning ministry point that the Lord used to call us out, and consequently, there has to be an ending ministry point that the Lord will equally use to take us up. As it is written, our God is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord. Revelation 1 verse 8. As God was then in the church in the wilderness, so he is today in the nation of the bride, because the plan of redemption is one, and the Spirit of Christ is one, for the Lord does not change. It was the Spirit of Christ in William Branham, and it is also the Spirit of Christ in John, for no man can do anything of himself. Church, the serious but undeniable scriptural fact remains that the great plan of redemption, universal redemption, that started way back here for the Gentiles, Brother Amos points to the chart in the first age of Christendom, precisely with the chief apostolic ministry of St. Paul, fulfilling the promise of God to Abraham, is ending in this seventh age of Christendom, precisely with the apostolic lead ministry of the end time John. In perfect and incontestable scriptural essence, what began with Apostle Paul in the first age ends with Apostle John in this seventh age. It most certainly does not end with William Branham, who is dead as we speak, but it ends with John, with the universal nation of the bride being caught up in the rapture. That is precisely why Almighty God called out to John from heaven and instructed him, go to the mighty angel with the open scroll of redemption in his hand, take that scroll, and eat it up. It is for your total consumption. I'll say it like that, because its consumption is not shared with any other man in the ministry, not even with another thunder, and it is for the simple reason that in God's sovereign and omniscient mind, way back in eternity, the completion of the redemption of the universal nation of the bride was invested in John. I am going somewhere, saints of God, and I am now at the highlight of my message, and may God help me. I need your prayers tonight. Let every eagle of God know with scriptural certainty that redemption has a definite beginning, and the beginning of redemption gives us the man whom God has sovereignly chosen and anointed to set that redemption in motion from way back before the foundation of the world. That was the very reason Apostle Paul, speaking of God's foreordination, declared plainly and categorically in Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 to 16, but when it pleased God, who separated me, foreordained me, and set me aside for his divine purpose from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, among the Gentiles. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, and he did not need to, because the Lord gave him the standard of Gentile redemption, the divine blueprint of universal salvation, thereby setting the redemption of the universal nation of the bride in motion in reality. And in the same vein, redemption also has a definite end, and the end of redemption also gives us the man whom God has sovereignly chosen and anointed from before the world was formed to bring redemption to its conclusion, its definite end accomplishment. This is a Bible issue, and it is plain, scriptural perfect. Consequently, I tell you in simple and categorical terms tonight, brothers and sisters, and please hear me loud and clear, what began with Apostle Paul in the first church age is ending precisely with Apostle John of Revelation 10, verses 8 to 11, in this seventh church age, the universal redemption that God promised Abraham in Genesis 12 verse 3 and Genesis 20 to verse 18, started with St. Paul. And I am here to also tell you tonight, on the full and unquestionable authority of the Holy Scriptures, that Gentile redemption, the redemption of the universal nation of the Bride of Jesus Christ, literally ends with the live ministry of the lead Apostle John. And I will not be ashamed or afraid to tell you tonight, in unambiguous, clear terms, by the grace of God, the grace that saved the most wretched sinner that I am the lead apostle to the universal Bride of Jesus Christ, in this Laodicean church age, right in this ending move. And just as Apostle Paul openly and plainly declared who he was in the ministry, in the pure seed age, within God's great plan of universal redemption, and he also wrote to the saints by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, as recorded in Romans 11 verse 13, I equally declare, I magnify mine office as the lead apostle. Brothers and sisters, people are at liberty to throw all the stones they want to. The fact is, we are not here playing games. This is not a game of peek-a-boo, hide and seek. The truth is this, if St. Paul in the first age of Christendom, in the age of original seed, could openly declare his position, saying to the entire body of God's elect Gentile seeds, I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. What of one God brings back the original seed apostolic ministry, in this seventh and final age, an age of original pure seeds? Shall I not equally magnify mine office? In 1 John chapter 4, speaking with reference to himself and Apostle Paul, Apostle John also declared clearly and categorically, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth, and the spirit of error. Now you dare condemn Apostles Paul and John for these Holy Ghost-inspired declarations, and let us see just where you end up. Brothers and sisters, you must see the return of that spirit of John. It is not what a man says, for any man can say or claim anything. It is the evident fruit of a man's ministry that shows or proves what he is and who he is. Do not forget, even as it is written in John chapter 3, verse 27, a man can receive nothing, except it be given him from heaven. No man can receive anything, unless it is given to him from above. Brothers and sisters, make no mistake about it. The ministry of completion of universal salvation is the Joshua of today. And that is none other than John, the lead apostle. I know they will try all they can to let me have a funeral because of this declaration. And yet, someone somewhere has to be used by God to complete the plan of universal redemption, and the choice is entirely that of God. It is just like when Joseph was almost killed, seriously persecuted, and finally sold into slavery by his brethren, all because of his God-given dreams, all of which he shared, showing that his brethren and parents would bow to him, which they eventually did. Saints, we must realize that the elevation of Joseph in Egypt was done for three main reasons, three divine reasons. First, it was done in order to preserve life, just as Joseph stated in Genesis chapter 45, when he revealed himself to his brethren in Egypt, who had come to buy corn. In verses 5 to 7, Joseph plainly declared, Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years, in the which there shall neither be rain nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by great deliverance. Second, it was to set a perfect type of this end time, when there would be a great famine in the land, of hearing the words of the Lord, the true word of God, when God would again make Africa the breadbasket of revealed truth for the universal bride of Jesus Christ, a reality we now face in the earth in this last age, even as we speak. For just as all roads led in the day to Africa the bread, and they all came from Europe, from the Middle East, you name it, as Africa fed the world naturally, so also at this evening time, all roads now lead to Africa, as Africa is feeding the universal nation of the Bride of Christ, spiritually, with the fresh carcass of the Word of Life, the living water. Genesis 41 verses 56 to 57. Amos 8 verses 11 to 12. Third, it was also to set a perfect type of the promised Messiah, who, in the millennium, is God's Son of Prosperity, the Lord of the whole earth, which was why in verses 8 to 9, Joseph now stated, "So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, for God used their evil jealousy towards Joseph to serve his purpose, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt, come down unto me, tarry not." We must see, therefore, that the elevation of Joseph served three divine objectives of God, for it was not done just simply to make Joseph a big shot. Although people never see the divine objective all out of their evil ambition, pride, and jealousy, the fact remains, however, that Joseph had to share the dreams he had received from God of his promised divine elevation, for he could not have shared them after the fact, but only before it was fulfilled. What his brothers did with his God-given testimony was up to them, for it was between them and God, and God used their envy and jealousy to serve his purpose nonetheless, for God is sovereign, and hence, his purpose is also sovereign. It cannot be defeated, thwarted, or overturned. Brothers and sisters, if in this last age we have a beginning ministry point of redemption, which we most certainly have, there must also be an ending ministry point of redemption, which we also most certainly have, because the Holy Bible gives it to us. It had to be so, because the church in the wilderness, which God used to set a perfect and an infallible type of the New Testament church, had a definite beginning ministry point, Moses, as well as a definite ending ministry point, Joshua. Moreover, why do you even think Brother Branham spoke prophetically by the Holy Ghost of Joshua, who is to come to the church as Paul, the original leader? Come on! May I remind you of what is written in John chapter 16, verse 13, where our Lord and Savior infallibly promised, saying, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, and he will show you things to come, the prophetic things of Jesus Christ that are to take place, as we move on in time." So we can be in the know of exactly what our Lord Jesus is doing in our own day. Consequently, brothers and sisters, that prophetic quote of the coming Joshua gives us first the restored apostolic leadership of Paul, and subsequently, it also gives us the apostolic leadership of John, in perfect typology. In other words, Joshua has a dual or double typological application in relation to the universal nation of the bride, here at this end time of harvest, in this seventh age of completion. Why is this so, you may ask? This is absolutely and inarguably so, because in this seventh age, Raymond Jackson, as our Joshua, was the chief apostle Paul, the man who took over from Elijah, a deliverer. However, he was called home in December 2004, before the bride was made ready for the return of Christ, before her hour of completion and possession, as the bride of Christ is still here. Therefore, this necessitated another standard bearer, another Joshua, a concluding Joshua, a Joshua of possession, which was precisely why the end time Paul handed over the baton of truth, the divine blueprint of universal redemption, to John, who will complete the work. It means in reality that it is actually John, whose subsequent apostolic leadership takes the universal nation of the royal bride to the rapture, and the mystical return of Jesus Christ, as the lead ministry of completion and possession, that is the end type of Joshua, thereby giving Joshua a double or dual application, here in this last age of harvest. However, for main reasons, Brother Jackson flatly denied being the Joshua after Brother Branham, even though he was undoubtedly Joshua, scripturally speaking, for he was indeed the Apostle Paul, on June the 3rd, 1999, preaching about the apostolic revelation of Jesus Christ as our declaration of faith and our constitution, in his sermon titled "The Declaration and the Constitution," a quote I have taken directly from his video message, Brother Jackson stated, "And then along come some of these of the little counterfeit characters, who are supposed to believe the message, and they would take Joseph Branham, and make him a prophet, and make him the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, I will never forget in the year of 1966, in going to North Carolina, after they first started publishing the little magazine, Thus Saith the Lord, they published an article about me, and I forget just exactly how their particular remark when they said, "Come and see our Joshua." Don't think, brothers and sisters, that didn't travel far and wide. I was quickly questioned by Billy Paul Branham, and I said, "Billy Paul, I denounce it." And I did it in Brother Ernest Fulke's pulpit too. He was the setting in front of me. But first off, I did not initiate the first thing about it. But I let people know, I am not a Joshua. I never have been. I never will be. I have no desire to be anything like that. But it's very strange from the same family, when it's their own blood brother, Joseph Branham, it's all right to make him the Lord. It's a two-way street we live on, brothers and sisters. It is a two-way street. If one man has to take responsibility and to deny something somebody wants to lay on him, then that should be absolutely for everybody in the same category. And that is the truth. Saints of God, we must realize that Brother Jackson made this denial for main reasons. One, he said this that, not knowing his precise position in the ministry as at the time. Two, he said this that, not having any ambition in his heart to be anything. 3. Elijah had only just died on Christmas Eve, December 24, 1965, and this publication, which portrayed Brother Jackson as Joshua, was written in 1966, which was just a few months after the passing away of Brother Branham. So, just how could he be thinking of being Joshua, when he had a humble heart, totally devoid of any evil ambition? Why would the thought of being Joshua even enter his mind at such a time? Come on! For he knew undoubtedly that he was not the ministry of completion, a completion work he later publicly placed squarely on the shoulder of his successor lead apostolic ministry, and hence, he could not but deny being Joshua, who gives us the lead ministry of completion in possession. Therefore, brothers and sisters, let me ask you, are you going to take that statement of Brother Jackson and use it to deny the reality we can all clearly see of his chief apostolic ministry role as Paul for about 39 solid years, based on the enormous depth of scriptural revelation that he bore? Putting the entire message of Elijah in its true scriptural perspective, removing the prophetic fan of Matthew 3 verse 12 in the message, and adding a great measure of Bible light, unveiling the Holy Scriptures, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, to move the bride forward, a great accomplishment for the universal bride, as a takeover lead ministry from that of Elijah. Come on! Particularly when we all know scripturally speaking that Elijah hands us over to the Apostle Paul, the first fruit of his Elijah ministry, and the beginning office of the apostolic fold of ministry, who are our end-time apostolic fathers. Open your eyes. Think about this. At the end of May 2004, which was a month right after Brother Jackson had made an open proclamation about me at Faith Assembly, precisely on April the 24th, 2004, stating that I would write the last chapter of the book of Acts as a bride gets ready to leave this world in the rapture. I stood before Bible Faith Tabernacle, right here in Lagos, in a message I titled, "Keeping Focus," and I flatly and sincerely denied being an apostle, because my apostolic ministry was kept for me in that day, to show the sincerity of my heart. Now, are you going to use the public denial I made on that day to deny my apostolic ministry, with all the evident fruits that the Lord has helped me to bear for the Bride of Christ Universal? Come on! At the time Brother Jackson denied being Joshua, did he not in fact believe that he was an apostle? He did, and he laid it out before the whole world in September 1977. In his Contender magazine, titled, "The Apostle's Office, Part 1. Over and over, he shared the apostle dream that he had around 1966, where Brother Branham signed the certificate of his apostolic calling, and dated it August 1, 1965, which was exactly the day that Brother Jackson had shared his horse dream with Brother Branham. Therefore, what Brother Jackson denied was being Joshua, and not his apostolic ministry. The crucial and material point, however, is this. regardless of his humble and sincere denial of being Joshua. The fundamental question we must ask is this: who fulfilled the prophetic declaration that Elijah made about the coming Joshua, who type saw represents the end-time leader, Paul, the original leader of the church? The original leader takes us right back to the apostolic ministry of Paul in the first church age, the age of original seeds, and it was Raymond Jackson who fulfilled that quote, sitting squarely in the seat office of St. Paul as the apostle of the Gentiles. Sometimes, when a man is not looking or thinking about a particular prophetic quote or scripture, God can use him to fulfill the prophecy without him even realizing it until much later, when he looks back and sees precisely how God has used him and what it has accomplished in the great plan of God. This fact is absolutely true about Brother Jackson when we consider his denial about being Joshua. Consider this: John the Baptist flatly denied being Elijah. In John 1 verse 21, "So I ask you in all sincerity, are you now going to use the denial to take away the Elijah ministry of John the Baptist, when we all know scripturally that he was that spirit of Elijah? Come on." Luke 1 verses 13 to 17, Matthew 17 verses 10 to 13. Yes, we know he was denying being the Elijah the Jews were expecting, who will forerun Christ's second physical coming, but he also still did not admit to them that he was an Elijah. Be that as it may, brothers and sisters, the fundamental fact also remains that Brother Jackson is no longer here to take the bride up, and hence, we have to see the dual application of Joshua's ministry at this same time, equally in relation to John, not as Paul, but as the lead apostolic ministry of completion and possession, the ministry who takes the bride up. Consequently, in reality, John is undoubtedly the end type of Joshua, being the ministry of completion and possession. Now deny that. Coming back on course, saints of God, if for the redemption of natural Israel, the church in the wilderness, the Lord established a beginning ministry point of that redemption, and he also established an ending ministry point of that redemption, a completion point, what are you going to do with the universal nation of the bride of Christ? Because both redemptions were promised to Abraham. Moreover, as we have been reiterating, the revelation of God and his ways are one, particularly as the redemption of God is one. For in Genesis chapter 15, verses 13 to 14, God told Abraham, "Your children will be enslaved in Egypt, and their bondage will be for about 400 years. Afterwards, I will deliver them." And we saw exactly how their salvation was accomplished, as the church in the wilderness, setting a perfect and unchangeable type of the reality of the redemption of the universal families of the royal bride, which Almighty God also promised Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, as was reinforced in Genesis chapter 22, verse 18. Consequently, whichever way God moved under the Old Testament in accomplishing the redemption of natural Israel, is the very same way he will move under the New Testament in accomplishing the redemption of the nation of the bride, spiritual Israel. Regarding the children of Israel, God Almighty established a ministry that brought them out, and he also established a ministry that took them in. And if you can see the ministry that brought them out, you should also be able to see the ministry that took them in. Transposing this truth to the reality which the New Testament gives us by the irrefutable revelation of the Holy Scriptures, the precise beginning ministry that God used to set the redemption of the universal bride, the Gentile bride, in motion, was that of the Apostle Paul. In the same vein, the ending ministry of universal redemption also had to be written in the Holy Bible, and it is equally written. It cannot be left to human conjecture. It cannot be left to suppositions. It just cannot be left to guesswork, and it was not left to such uncertainties, particularly as the ending of a thing is what matters, being most crucial, so that the end objective of redemption is not defeated, seeing that universal redemption has taken God almost 2,000 years to accomplish. When we add this to the period of the Old Testament that was used to set redemption in a shadow, brothers and sisters, it has indeed been a long journey. That is why I tell you tonight, it was not possible that the beginning ministry point of redemption and the ending ministry point of redemption, the crucial end where redemption is fully realized, will be left out of the Holy Bible as a mystery, without the witness of the Holy Scriptures, as its solid and immovable basis, its infallible foundation. It is for absolute scriptural certainty and divine direction, because God's plan of universal redemption is not a game. Moreover, and as we must keep reiterating, what we must realize, a fundamental truth, is that we are not being called out just for calling out sake. We are called out so that we can go up, for there must be a fully ready bride for translation. Consequently, if there was a ministry that brought us out, there must of necessity also be a ministry that takes us up. And church, if the beginning ministry of universal redemption is given to us in the Holy Scriptures, and it is the office of the Apostle Paul, the ending ministry cannot be left to guesswork or human conjecture, but it must equally have its firm basis in the Holy Scriptures. And it certainly does have its firm basis in the Holy Bible. What is so difficult for men to see in this basic but fundamental truth, if their hearts are right, if they have a true love for truth? The ending ministry for the great plan of global redemption, which gives us the full realization of the end objective of universal redemption, one that God promised Abraham, has to have a Bible witness, and in fact, it has solid Bible witnesses. This is because we are not following fables and hand-me-down carnal traditions of men, but we are following revealed truth, God's revealed truth of redemption. That ending ministry is precisely what Revelation chapter 10, verses 8 to 11, gives to us, and that is among other scriptures. What God gave us as the lead ministry of completion and possession in the prophetic revelation of Jesus Christ, in this prophetic passage of the Holy Bible, Revelation chapter 10, verses 8 to 11, is the ending ministry of John, for therein we have the infallible and immutable promise of the return of the concluding Spirit, anointing, of John. That is why Jesus revealed himself to the apostles by the seashore, as they fished, and as recorded in the Gospel of St. John chapter 21, our Lord Jesus prepared fire, laid fish on the fire, with bread, and the Master called to them, saying, "Come and dine." When his disciples came out of the water and got to him, they dined, and when they had dined, the Master said, "Peter, do you love me more than these? Feed my lambs." So, I ask you, why did the Lord single out Peter to ask him this question? It was because Peter was the apostle to the Jews. He held the apostleship of the circumcision. You can never take away the most crucial position of a man who carries the divine blueprint of redemption. Because without the man with the blueprint of God's universal redemption, we are going nowhere. I repeat, without the man with the blueprint of God's redemption, under the leadership of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, we are going nowhere, because all we will have is nothing but confusion, total confusion. There has to be a man under Jesus Christ, that the Holy Scriptures give to us, to carry the blueprint of redemption for the universal nation of the Gentile bride in its ending phase. It is all according to God's plan of redemption, as laid out in the Holy Scriptures. So, in the day, the Master called the man who carried the standard of redemption for the Jewish nation, the man who was given the three keys to the kingdom, the man who would make the Gentile connection, and he asked him a second time, saying, "Do you love me? Feed my sheep." The Master singled out Peter from all the other apostles as they ate fish, asking Peter in the presence of James, John, Thomas, and Nathanael, saying, "Feed my sheep." It was all on account of the preeminent ministry position that Peter occupied, as the apostle of the Jews. The Lord Jesus even asked Peter a third time, "Do you love me? Feed my sheep." Then the Master instructed him, "Follow me," and Peter followed him. The God of heaven and earth orchestrated this whole setting, because Jesus was going to be inspired by the Spirit of God to utter a very crucial and deep prophetic truth, and the Almighty God, who mapped out the ending move of redemption in his omniscient mind, way back in eternity, also inspired John to follow the Master. And John also got up and was following closely behind. Then Peter turned, and upon seeing John, who was one of the three who were apostles, following them, was now moved, inspired by the Spirit of the God of Providence, to ask Jesus, just as verses 21 to 24 now records. Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me faithfully in your own ministry. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die. But, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple, John, which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. What a great prophetic oath the Lord Jesus dropped, right here in verse 22, declaring in prophetic essence, What if I want the anointing of John to tarry till I return? I am simply telling you the real meaning. What if I want his ministry position, and the anointing he will carry, to tarry till I return for the bride? What is your concern with that? When Peter heard this prophetic declaration, one that he was not meant to understand, and one which he did not understand, when he left that meeting, from that day, everywhere he went, he told the saints emphatically, Thus saith the Lord Jesus Christ, Apostle John will not die to the rapture. I was there when the Lord said it. As a matter of fact, the declaration about John was spoken directly to me by the Master. It is thus saith the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, crucify Saint Peter for that declaration, if you dare. God did not judge or even rebuke Apostle Peter for spreading such an incorrect message that John would not die, because he was not meant to understand what Jesus said, and God does not judge a man for the revelation of truth that he has not been given. Peter was only meant to hear it, that this prophetic testimony may be born, written in the Holy Bible by Saint John himself, who heard what the Master said that day about him to Saint Peter. So, I ask, what did the Master mean by this declaration in 33 AD? Brothers and sisters, as we stated before, in John chapter 21, verse 22, Jesus was only saying in prophetic reality, I want the spirit of John, not his human spirit, but the anointing of John, to tarry for its end time role, for only my return for the word bride church. Hence, saints of God, the anointing or spirit of John is the only anointing, the only spirit in the entire New Testament ministry that the Lord reserved to be reused right here at this end time, in this seventh age, as a major anointing, just as God reserved to major Old Testament anointings of Moses and Elijah, also at this end time. Church, in the day, Apostle Peter did not realize what a great role Apostle John would later play in God's great plan of redemption. What great thing he would be used to accomplish for the Gentile nation of the Bride of Christ, an accomplishment that would be realized only after Apostle Paul would have passed away, for St. John would be anointed as a lead apostle of the Gentiles, the candlestick of Jesus Christ in 96 AD. According to Revelation 2 verse 5, taken with Revelation 1 verse 1, and the last original apostolic guard, Matthew 13 verse 25. That was precisely why Jesus sent his angel with the prophetic revelation contained in the Apocalypse, the book of Revelation, meant for his plural servants, saying implicitly, impliedly, or indirectly, or in effect, to all these servants, every last one of you, go to John and get my prophetic revelation message from him, or you will not have it. Period. And church, in the prophetic experience recorded in Revelation 10, verses 8 to 11, Apostle John was told to prophesy again on a global level, a commission he never fulfilled, for he was only standing in the shoes of the end-time John, on whose behalf he received the commission. This great prophetic passage of Scripture undoubtedly gives us the promise of the return of the Spirit, anointing, of John, because it is the ministry of completion, bearing the anointing of completion. Consequently, seeing the promise expressed in Revelation 10 verses 8 to 11, and taking it back to John 21 verse 22, now for the first time, saints of God, we understand what Jesus meant way back then in 33 AD, when he said to Peter about John, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. It gives us absolutely nothing but the return of the Spirit of John. The return of the completed ministry of John, literally foreknowing Christ's return for the royal universal nation of the bride. Absolutely. Brethren, let me hurry along so I can wrap up my message. I thank you for your patience. Brothers and sisters, we can all clearly see Therefore, that the apostolic lead ministry of John, which St. John chapter 21, verse 22, obviously gives to us, as unveiled and reinforced in Revelation chapter 10, verses 8 to 11, is indeed the ministry of completion, meaning that we have the witness of the Lord in the Gospels to this truth, and we also have the witness of the Lord in the book of Revelation to the same truth. Are you listening to me? We have a witness in the Gospels, plural, and we say this in view of the additional witness of Matthew 13, verse 50 to scribes, which gives us John's and in-household scribe ministry. And we also have a witness in the book of Revelation. However, and on top of all these scriptural witnesses, it is the evident fruit of a man's ministry that shows and proves who he is. For as it is written in John chapter 3, verse 27, a man can receive nothing, except it be given him from heaven. And as the Lord Jesus plainly declared in Matthew chapter 7, verse 17, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Then in verse 20, the Lord added again an expository statement, declaring categorically, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Consequently, we have to see the fruits of a man's ministry, taking it through the inerrable funnel of the Holy Scriptures, to rightly determine whether it fulfills what the Holy Bible says that a promised ministry will do or not. May I say tonight, the lead apostolic ministry of John is the ministry of revelatory unity, the ministry ensuring scriptural unity, and unity is the foundation stone for the work of perfection which the efficient fivefold ministry will accomplish. That is precisely why there is no fan in the Bible unveiling message that John is carrying, unlike in the message of Elijah, and also that of the end-time chief apostle. John carries a rich and crystal clear exposition of the message of the Holy Bible, unveiling in depth and in utmost simplicity God's great plan of redemption, for the message of John is strictly about the Holy Bible. It is all about the full and unlimited exposition of the Holy Scriptures, to give the universal nation of the bride the divine understanding of God's Word, the Holy Bible, which gives us God's great plan of global redemption, a message that is being delivered with absolute crystal clarity and depth, and in simplicity that only the Spirit of Christ can engineer. His continuing message only makes truth plain, removing the great complexity that is in the Word of God, that both the lamb and sheep of God can fit with absolute ease, with great delight, and to their spiritual satisfaction. Therefore, his ministry, under Christ, guarantees a never-failing, rich surplus, and sumptuous supply of fresh food, so that the universal nation of the bride can have fresh carcass for her spiritual sustenance, taking her in and out of the Word of God. It is just as Jesus promised in John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door. By me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture, green pasture. We brought up this truth in the scribe, titled, Doors and Door. Consequently, may I say this tonight, brothers and sisters, and you will all agree with me, that if the apostolic lead ministry of John is indeed the ending ministry, which gives us the ministry of completion, then he has to have Bible answers to legitimate Bible questions. I make this qualification or distinction because of the important admonition that St. Paul gave in to Timothy chapter 2, verse 23, which records, but foolish and unlearned, useless or senseless and unprofitable, questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. So, I repeat, if the apostolic lead ministry of John is the ministry of completion, he must have perfect, infallible, Bible answers to relevant or material Bible questions, questions necessary for the bride's spiritual growth into the full stature of Christ, questions that devolve upon the blueprint of the redemption of the universal bride of Christ, who are following Jesus strictly in the divine revelation of the Holy Scriptures. Listen to me, for it only stands to reason, it is common sense, if Apostle John is the one who eats the entire scroll of redemption, then he has to have the answers to the material questions of the Holy Bible that devolve upon the revelation ordained of God for the adornment of the bride of Christ. And as we have also stated earlier, the apostolic ministry of completion has to be the revelatory ministry, the ministry bearing the revealed truths of Christ, through whom we see eye to eye, being the lead apostolic ministry for accomplishing the unity of the faith, the bearer of the full standard of truth, the present, continuing, climax in, and concluding truth of Jesus Christ. As we said earlier, he has to be the biblical lead ministry through whom legitimating material Bible questions of the elect bride are being answered with absolute crystal clarity, since he is the final redirect household scribe whom the Lord has given to us in Matthew 13, verse 52, and in Revelation 1, verse 3. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, Jesus clearly stated, "Blessed is he, a singular person, that readeth, and they, plural persons, referring to the universal body of saints, that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Saints, we must see that the consecutive men Jesus prophetically referred to here in 96 AD, as he, singular person, that readeth, giving us right here at this end time, three successive readers of the Apocalypse for the universal nation of the Bride of Christ, earlier in 33 AD. He referred to the same men as scribes in the Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 13, verse 52. Our Savior Jesus Christ declared prophetically in this parable, "Even as it is written, then said he unto them, therefore every scribe, apostolic scribe, giving us Paul and John successively, which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, the principal household scribe, Elijah, sent a messenger to Laodicea, which bringeth forth out of his treasure, of the Holy Bible, God's treasure store, things new, new revelations, and old truths, old revelations," meaning in true essence, that this divine treasure store of God, the Holy Bible, to which the Bride of Christ has full and unrestrained access, right here in this last age, through the ministry of the successive or consecutive household scribes, successive readers, begins with the prophetic ministry of William Branham, the principal household scribe reader. It is succeeded by the chief apostolic ministry of the Paul of today, Raymond Jackson, and is completed by the successive lead apostolic ministry of John. For the household scribe ministry, which started with William Branham, ends with John, the third and final reader, he that readeth. We have laid out the truth about the scribes in our scribe magazine, titled The Three Scribes, as well as in the scribe, titled The Householder. We have also laid out the truth of readers in the scribe, titled The Revelation of Jesus Christ to the Church Ages, introductory chapter. Consequently, if John is indeed the household scribe ministry of completion, the final reader, brothers and sisters, it basically means this: when we go through time, he must be able to pick up every gem of divine revelation, every revelatory stone, because he has to have everything, beginning from the types and shadows of the law of Moses, and the revelation of the prophets, because even the chief apostle Paul, who was used by Jesus Christ to set Gentile redemption in motion, had the revelation of the types and shadows of the Torah, with the material revelation of the prophets. So, how much more will the ministry of completion have? He will have it all. I am simply showing you the scriptural fruits, the evident fruits of the ministry of completion. Open your eyes. You must see that the ministry of completion must have the great plan of universal redemption opened up to him by the Spirit of Christ, without any restraints, for the required edification of the universal nation of the Bride of Christ. Ephesians 4 verses 11 to 13. Revelation 10 verses 8 to 11. The fountain of revealed truth must be opened up to the elect royal bride through his ministry, for the unlimited and thorough washing with the crystal clear water of the word, the sanctuary waters, in which the bride, God's rainbow fish, can swim, being her exclusive waters. Ephesians 5 verses 26 to 27. Ezekiel 47 verses 1 to 5. That was why I was saying last night, sometimes, in producing the scribe message, I need absolute quiet in order to log on to the anointing, the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And at other times, it takes music, some music, a particular kind of godly Christian music. And when the music plays, it locks deep down in my soul, opening something, as the anointing comes down, and I just log on to the spirit of inspiration. I immediately press the repeat button, and the song can play all through the day, as the inspiration flows. It is simply inexplainable because it is mysterious. The point is, when that anointing comes, There is no scriptural mountain that can stand, it will come down, and there is no notice of the Holy Scriptures that can withstand that inspiration, for it will be easily and perfectly untied, because it is not what a man can do, but it is only what the Spirit of God can do. Therefore, it is blasphemy to attribute to the brains of a lawyer what God alone can do, and is doing. It is sin against the Holy Ghost to attribute to the brain of a man what only the Spirit of truth, who is the Spirit God, can do, because I am not the smartest of lawyers on this planet. I am not even a senior advocate in Nigeria. The fundamental and crucial fact remains, brothers and sisters, that the ministry of completion has to go through time, picking up all the jewels of truth, all the gemstones of revealed truth that is dotting the pathway of redemption, for the extremely rich adorning of the souls of the elect royal bride of Christ, giving her the most beautiful and most precious wedding garment material, before we can move on to appropriate the unwritten revelation of the seven thunders. This he has to be able to do, and can only do, by the sheer grace of God, and because he has a singular advantage of being at the very end, he can look back through time, and pick up every piece of truth that has been revealed through time, in view of Proverbs 4:18 and Matthew 13, verse 52. If in the first age of Christendom, the Ephesian church age, St. John, in giving us the genesis of the serpent bruiser, the promised Messiah, the Word, could start from way back in eternity, when he was yet only a thought, the Logos, in the mind of Elohim, what about the ministry of completion, who bears the entire plan of global redemption, because it's the entire scroll of redemption? So, it lets us know undoubtedly that the end time John must have, and he definitely does have, all the scriptural truths of Prophet Moses relating to Jesus Christ. He must, and he definitely has, all the scriptural truths of the Apostle Paul. He must, and he definitely has, all the scriptural truths of the lead Apostle John, the beloved disciple. He must have, and he definitely has, all the scriptural truths of William Branham, and he must have, and he most definitely has, all the scriptural truths of Raymond Jackson, all of which are truths relating to God's great plan of universal redemption, plus the present truth, present tense light, the fresh carcass of the Word of God, making up the total balance of the revelation of written truths, giving the elect royal bride, present and continuing and unparalleled revelation of Jesus Christ, from the pages of the Holy Bible. Church, John has to have all the old truths, plus new truths, fresh revelations of the Holy Scriptures, on the full authority of Matthew 13, verse 52, and Proverbs 4, verse 18. Furthermore, we must not also forget that the original apostles were the foundation layers for the entire universal nation of the bride, carriers of the New Testament faith. Ephesians 2, verse 20. Consequently, the chief apostolic ministry of the end time Paul must have his apostolic input in the same foundation that Elijah restored us to, the foundation that Elijah relayed, a foundation which the lead apostle John will complete, filling in the gaps, revelatory gaps, giving us a most solid, complete, entire, perfect, and immutable, life-giving foundation. In other words, when we consider the foundation of revealed faith that the end-time royal bride of Christ is established upon by the Bible-restoring message of Elijah, it is the ministry of completion who finishes this foundation, bringing completion to the foundation structure of the revealed truths of Jesus Christ that will reproduce the original pure-seed royal bride, right here in this final junction of Gentile time, in this harvest time in Laodicea. This is the picture we have portrayed right here. Brother Amos points to the chart, at the extreme bottom right side of our chart. Brothers and sisters, as the apostolic ministry of completion, one who fills in all the gaps, bringing completion to the apostolic foundation of revealed faith, he must be able to tie up the loose ends of the end-time message. I repeat, he must be able to tie up all the loose ends that remain in the message of William Branham, as well as the loose ends we have in the continuity message of Raymond Jackson, because the message of Christ is one. The ministry of completion does not leave any holes or gaps of truth left in the foundation, but all revelatory gaps will be solidly and perfectly sealed with gemstones of revealed truth. Even old truths will be meticulously and smoothly polished and beautifully garnished revelatorily, making them glow with divine brilliance and glory, for they are renewed, becoming refreshing truth. So we must understand that the ministry of completion has to tie any remaining loose ends in the message. And the picture of the loose ends is what we also have portrayed right here on the chart. Brother Amos points to the chart at the extreme right middle section. In a message preached by Brother Jackson, laid out in the Contender Data July 2009, and titled Seven Trumpets and Seven Vials, the chief apostle related a material conversation he had with a particular sister who gave a testimony which goes thus. A sister gave a testimony the other day about talking to a man. His conversation came down to where he said, "Well, we believe there will be somebody rise on the scene that will take all the loose ends and tie them together, especially the trumpets and vials and things like that." I remember when Brother William Branham preached the seals. Shortly after the seals were preached, he said, "I plan to bring a message on the trumpets next, but when the time came, he said the Lord told me it is not time." Therefore, tying up our remaining loose ends in the message, filling every available revelatory gap in the restored message of Christ, and laying in absolute detail the revelation of the seven trumpets and the seven vials is precisely what John has to be able to do. For he must have the divine capacity, the God-given ability to do this as a continuing and concluding ministry of universal redemption, the ministry of completion. I know they will crucify me for the message of tonight, but so did they likewise do to Jesus Christ, for daring to declare who he was and still is, and that is the Son of God, the promised Messiah, just as John chapter 10, verses 36 to 38 records, where Jesus asked the Jews, "Say ye of him, Jesus, whom the Father hath sanctified, and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not." In other words, look at the fruits. Judge me by my fruits, fruits which the Son of God is expected to bear. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know, and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Since I know these men, being chronic unbelievers and hypocrites, will say to me, just as a man in Ghana often says, even though he is also going all over creation, looking for followership, and trying to make a name for himself, "We preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ." Church, please listen to me, for this is not a game of hide and seek, peek-a-boo, and we are not here deceiving the souls of God's precious seeds. We are strictly in Bible terrain, for it is all about the Holy Scriptures, God's revealed plan of universal redemption. Consequently, you are either going to believe the Holy Bible or not, for we are only laying out the full ending plot of redemption. In the epistle of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5, Apostle Paul stated, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." The material issue now is this. Why do these men not use this same verse to knock St. Paul for his chief apostolic ministry declaration recorded in Romans 11 verse 13, Galatians verses 6 to 9, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 10, and Galatians 1 verses 10 to 20, amongst many other scriptures, where he plainly showed the important and most crucial ministry position that he occupied within God's great plan of universal redemption? Come on! Why do they not use it to deny and denounce St. Paul's public chief apostolic ministry claim? As the saying goes, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Let them use 2 Corinthians 4 verse 5 to deny the truth of these passages of the Holy Scripture, which were also written by the same Apostle Paul, Romans 11 verse 13, Galatians verses 6 to 9, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 10, and Galatians 1 verses 10 to 20. And many other scriptures. These men talk as if the preaching of Jesus Christ has no divine ministry plot, as if the preaching of Jesus Christ has no lead ministry logistics, for ordained by the eternal God to carry the great plan of global redemption through time. These hypocrites, these unbelievers, men who, like Antlians, always move backward because they can never move on. They can never move forward, but only backward. Hence, they are always thanking God for what he did in times past, and are looking forward to what he will do in the future, but never seeing what God is doing right here and now, presently, because they are always blind to the reality of God, wanting only a historical God and a futuristic God, and not the great I am that I am, the ever-present tense God of reality. And it is all because they hate leadership, except they are the ones in the lead. Open your eyes and see the fruit of something, for you have to see the lead ministry of the apostolic Joshua of his day, the ministry of completion and possession, God's warrior, God's battle axe. See what the day is saying, and what it demands. See the utter confusion, not just in Christendom, but also in the Branham movement, the total apostasy, the great falling away, the complete and unparalleled degeneration and bastardization of Christianity, the gross and palpable spiritual darkness that has engulfed the entire religious world, seriously begging for the Lord's overriding and absolute crystal clear light of revealed truth. Also see what is going on revelatorily, what the Lord is quietly doing currently in the earth, the unveiling of truth, the still small voice, giving crystal clear matchless understanding of the Holy Scriptures to God's elect seeds, making the Holy Bible an open book, and the tearing down of all untruths. See what the Lord wants to accomplish, all in the light of God's revealed plan of global redemption, which is revelatory, unity, and perfection of the royal bride. See the fruit of something. In the sermon he preached in 1962, titled, Super Sign, speaking specifically about the extremely militant manner of the ministry of the prophet that is to come. The wrapping up ministry of John, in paragraph 64, Brother Branham declared plainly and categorically, Now, the thing of it is, when we can bring ourselves to one heart, one mind, one accord, one true scriptural accord, one place, one God, one salvation, one Holy Ghost, one blessing, hallelujah, then you're going to see the super sign. When people quit mingling with this prescription God wrote, which is the Holy Bible, when people quit mingling with the Bible, and come back and believe the word, and act upon it and stay there, not for sensations, but until the word itself is quickened and brought to life, and they see the real Bible signs of the last day, the super sign, the same Messiah that once lived. Now watch this, there will come forth, in the future, a prophet one of these days, preaching the original word of God. Now listen to the manner of his coming ministry. You talk about me, the Elijah prophet messenger, telling you about having bob hair or something. Wait until you get a hold of him. Wait till you listen to him. Singular person, a coming lead ministry. You think I'm rough an organization. Wait till he comes in existence. In this last age, he will restore all the years that the Palmer were meeting, giving us the reality of full restoration, in terms of the original pure word, in terms of the original fivefold ministry, in terms of the original life, the original bride's character, and in terms of the original nine gifts of the Spirit and supernatural displays, this being the ministry of completion, established for the realization of the original pure seed word bride. Then Elijah added, declaring plainly and categorically, it'll be a message go for off, a continuing, climax in, and concluding message of Jesus Christ for Gentile redemption. Skipping to paragraph 65 to 66, Brother Branham also stated, there's got to come in this last day a restoration of the church, that bright tree, that was eaten down back yonder by cankerworms and palmer worms, and all kinds of insects that eat all the brotherly love and fruit away from it. There's got to come a church again where those barriers will be broke, and the Holy Ghost will have the right of way among the people. When you do, you will see the same signs and wonders that happened back there in them days. Amen. Looking for the super sign. Now, that super sign was a virgin-born child that was to last forever, an eternal sign. And the child is not dead. They killed him. He died, certainly. The stinger of death killed him. But God raised him up again. And here he is after 2,000 years of all the hardships, and locusts, and palmer worms are eating on it. There is still a remnant of people that believe God and keep his word. And that is precisely who we are, by the grace of God. Hence, Brother Branham now declared plainly and emphatically, there will be a bride. Just as certain as I'm standing in this pulpit, there will be a bride that's washed in the blood of the Lamb. And that Lamb will be living among them, showing super signs of his resurrection, After 2,000 years, the same thing he did when he was here on earth. I believe that. Amen. Brothers and sisters, Brother Branham said all that. Because we are looking at the lead ministry of completion, which is a lead ministry of possession, a lead ministry carrying the message of completion, the message of Christ in its revelatory fullness. That is precisely why, like Joshua, the lead apostle John has to be a warrior, God's battle axe, bringing down every tower of Jericho, every tower of Babel, uprooting and dislodging every creed, dogma, and tradition of man, subduing every Amorite, Girgashites, Jebusite, and Canaanites in the movement, and bearing every Achan who are in the way of the elect royal bride. Saints of God, we have heard the prophetic testimony of Elijah about the manner of this ending ministry. Now let us also hear the prophetic testimony of the chief apostle, one that we saw earlier, but only in a measure. In the contended date of September 2004, and titled The Body of Christ, Part 3, Page 3, Column 5, Brother Jackson equally and categorically stated, I will have to say this morning, God will not start the bride's unity move with the voice of men. He will start with the voice of one man, the lead apostle John, that will lift up the truth strong enough, loud enough, that those men, elect men, will know God is in it. And that is what I'm saying this morning. If there is to be unity, there has got to be the voice, the continuing and concluding message of one man, who all the other men will get aligned with. Always remember, brothers and sisters, the birth of anything, you get the head first. The heads, apostolic heads, got to be set in motion first. That head don't have to be one man, but it starts with one man. And as that one man speaks, other components, elect components of the head, join with it. They join with the continuing, climaxing, and concluding message of the Holy Bible that the lead apostle is carrying. And then, when the body begins to see that the head is taking shape, then the people can begin to say, as for me and my house, we're going to go that way. So, this morning, brothers and sisters, it's not the big and little you. It's not Dr. Doolittle. But it's a brother that God has known. I have to say today, God's going to put his head in shape. The head's got to speak, Jesse. Now listen carefully to this, for it is exactly what I want you all to see. As the chief apostle warned about the manner of the coming lead apostolic ministry, plainly declaring, the body of Christ cannot be a nucleus of people running here and there with their ideas. Well, I don't like to hear him preach. He's too rough. Let's follow Jesus. Did you hear that? We will take it again. Well, I don't like to hear him preach. He's too rough. Let's follow Jesus. Brother Jackson was saying that people will stumble at his manner of ministry because of his total militancy against all unbelief of the word, militancy against all untruth, against all erroneous projections that offend the holy word of God, and hence, they will consider him to be too rough and unbearable, too uncompromising. However, he is God's threshing and sifting instrument, the elect vessel of God designed for completing the separation of seeds, right here at this end of time. Hence, in 2004, speaking specifically about the coming, subsequent, lead ministry, in his message titled, The Great Mystery, Part 2, Page 3, Column 4, Brother Jackson stated plainly and categorically, I say this morning, I do not want to sound foolish, but I have to say, when God begins to deal with a human being, a God-ordained vessel of clay, to show some revelation of things, he is not going to do it, future tense, in a way that the old crowd, in the movement, is going to run and jump in his lap, because he will carry a hard and rough separating voice that people cannot bear with or accept, except God's elect seeds, the true lovers of the liberating word of God. And concluding what he was saying about the old crowd, who will not run and jump on the lap of John, because of his hard separating voice, Brother Jackson declared, they never have and they never will. Finally, in his message in the contender data September 1977, and titled The Apostle's Office, Part 1, under the subtitle Apostle Dream, Brother Jackson similarly stated, awakening from the dream, my heart was made to rejoice over this one thing, Now I knew scripturally where I stood, what my calling was to fulfill, and I knew if I would remain loyal to God and not listen to man, it is true, I would receive much ridicule, much opposition, and many, no doubt, will seek to destroy my influence, as they would attempt to mar the image of my person. Yet I knew if I would remain faithful to God, He will see to it that this ministry to which He had called me will serve His purpose. I believe it to be a biblical ministry, and furthermore, I believe it is truly spiritually in line with the written word of God. I realize if it is scripture, then as a minister of God, I had a right to study the message which was brought to the age. I have the right from God to explain to people why there is so much confusion and contradiction among the people at large over what this prophet, church age messenger, taught to this age. At the same time, I have no right to make myself above and beyond anything of any other minister, which is the only thought the opposition will take in this entire testimony, leaving out the rest. Now listen to this, for this is precisely where we are going, as Brother Jackson now declared. Yet I know somewhere, God is going to have someone who will have enough of God in his life, enough boldness, enough determination to stand for the true entire, complete word of God. No, he will not stand in defense of men's flesh, but he will stand in defense of the resurrected Christ and the true revealed word of God. He will do so because he is the last lead apostolic guard bearing the complete revelation of Jesus Christ, the Joshua of completion and possession, God's warrior of redemption, the chosen vessel for ensuring revelatory unity, unity of the faith. Open your eyes and see something. Church, we have heard the prophetic testimony of Elijah about the manner of the ministry of possession, the lead ministry of completion. We have also heard the prophetic testimony of the chief apostle about the same ministry. And now, we will seal it with two prophetic witnesses of the Holy Spirit God, still speaking about the absolute militancy of the manner of this very ministry. During the September 2003 Fall Convention at Faith Assembly, Jeffersonville, USA, on the night I was to preach a message titled, The Position of the Bride Ministry, a message went forth in tongues by a sister during the worship, and the interpretation also went forth by Brother Raymond Jackson, who prophesied thus by the Holy Ghost, My children, this is another occasion that I, the living God, have provided and set for the establishment of my purpose. Watch, I have said in former times, that as the days draw near, for Jesus Christ to return, I will do a strange thing amongst my people, who make up the elect bride, things that will begin to tear away the old traditions of man's thinking, which gives us the militant ministry of truth, spiritual Joshua warrior, the ministry of completion, which the Lord uses to remove all falsehood, all error, all carnal projections and traditions of men, bringing absolute revelatory purity and crystal clarity to the continuing message of Christ, and hence, unity, harmony, and peace in the camp of the elect bride. The Holy Spirit added, Warning, for I say to you, my little children, this is a way thou hast never walked before. For I have afforded the opportunity of unity. There is none of thee that has seen this pathway. I alone am the one that has ordained it. For this way would be the way that I will lead thee through to perfection, and I will lead thee in the way of unity. If you only have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to Laodicea, and in the remains of time, that my body would become a healthy body, every gift that I have placed within her will be expressed through my will, my leadings, and the way that I designed for thee to walk. Amen. That was precisely why, on April the 24th, 2004, just as Brother Jackson was going to speak about me to the body of Christ, as I was called to preach, the Holy Spirit gave another prophetic word through Kevin Craze, a man who is now one of the main ministers at Faith Assembly, and you can watch this prophecy on our website under the title, Brother Jackson's Second Witness. In that prophetic utterance, the Spirit of God was showing us His ending master plan of redemption, right here at this end time, clearly stating, Yea, my people, have I not declared unto thee, yea, that this message, a continuity, yea, that is being established, it shall go unto the ends of this earth, saith the Lord. Yea, I have sent this vessel, that he shall testify, yea, of the rock, and which is established, yea, many miles away in Africa. It is my hand. Yea, it is my work that I have brought it about. I have established it, and nothing, yea, shall come against it. For it shall stand, yea, through battles, through fire. Yea, my truth will go on, and it shall accomplish that which it was intended. And I say, it is my master plan. I say, it is I, the living God, that have brought it to be. Yea, the political man has established his agenda, but it shall have no effect. For in the end I shall prevail, and my word shall be yea and amen, saith the Lord. Brothers and sisters, there is a lead ministry of continuity as we speak tonight, and the lead ministry of continuity today is the ministry of completion, the lead ministry of conclusion. For he brings not only continuity to the accomplishment of God's great plan of redemption, but he also brings completion to it, bearing the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. Under this lead ministry, therefore, the universal nation of the bride will come into full possession of all that she has lost, and all that has been prophesied about her. Church, this is my challenge tonight. Now I challenge the Branham movement. If you say that what we are preaching tonight is a lie, I will ask you just two questions. Show me the lead ministry of completion. Give me the name of that man. If you do not know the way, you are a fool to condemn someone who is showing the way, especially when he is doing it by the word of God. Before you can condemn someone as a damnable heretic, you must have the truth, otherwise you only make yourself a fool. It is a fool that calls something damnable heresy, and yet, he does not have a clue about what the truth is. When you say this is damnable, you are expected to know what the truth is, and to also show the truth, by the Holy Scriptures, because it is the light of God that shows darkness. You cannot show darkness without the light, because the Holy Bible says that it is the light that makes darkness manifest. The book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13, clearly provides, "But all things that reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light, the light of the word of God." So, just how do you condemn something when you do not have the answer? You say, "I know it is wrong," but yet, you do not know what is right. But you insist, claiming, "I just know that that is wrong." However, you have no clue about what is right. Since, it is true, you might not accept something because you disagree with it, especially if it just does not sound right to you, deep down in your heart, even though you may not have the scriptures as yet with which to judge it. Nevertheless, you still cannot condemn it until you have the truth, the true scriptural answer, although you can quietly walk away from it, refusing it. However, before you can condemn something, you must have the truth. Without the truth, you cannot condemn anything, because you do not know what is right, and you cannot show what is right to replace what you have condemned. You must have the light to condemn darkness. If you do not have the true light, you have nothing with which to condemn darkness, and you are not even sure that it is darkness, because you may be the one who lacks the divine understanding of that matter. Are you with me? Am I making sense? I continue to challenge the entire Branham movement. If William Branham brought us out, you have to show me the ministry that will take us up, because Brother Branham is dead, and he has been dead for over 50 years. There has to be a lead ministry of completion of what William Branham was used of God to start. And if you deny this plain scriptural fact, I will not bother myself with you, because I know that you have no clue about God's plan of redemption, and you do not believe anything. For even the church that was only a shadow, the church in the wilderness, not only had a beginning ministry of that redemption, Moses, she also had an ending ministry, the ministry of completion, which was the ministry of possession, Joshua, and yet it was only a church that set a mere type. What about the church of the reality? And what about the ministry of the reality? How can we have a beginning ministry of Gentile redemption and not have a concluding ministry of the same redemption? So, I challenge the movement who are here in this meeting tonight, for some of you are here. You want to condemn this message. However, before you condemn it, You will first give me the man that is occupying the position of the lead ministry of completion, someone who is fulfilling this most crucial and most important role. You will first give me that. If you do not know anything about the lead ministry of completion, and you condemn what I have clearly and sufficiently set forth in this message tonight by the Holy Scriptures, you are a fool, an unbeliever, and I do not say that to any particular individual. I challenge the Branham movement to please show me who is carrying the divine blueprint of global redemption today. Please show me the man who has the divine roadmap for the redemption of the universal nation of the bride, the revelatory plumb line of the Holy Bible, Christ's standard of truth. For someone has to carry the revelatory blueprint, and you must follow that man in the light of the Word of God that he is bearing, otherwise, confusion will never leave your borders. Because without God's revelatory blueprint, we will all be in confusion. You have to show me the man who is carrying the blueprint of universal redemption, for such a man packs a revelation of the Holy Scriptures, bearing the unparalleled light of the crystal clear pure Word of God, because of where we are in time, being the third and final junction of time for the Bride of Christ, in this seventh and final church age. So, please show me the man, because we want to follow the light, the pure and non-adulterated Word of God. Therefore, the man will of necessity have scriptural answers to the legitimate and material questions of the Holy Bible. Because every Bible question has a Bible answer, for the Bride of Christ does not walk in darkness. She does not walk in ignorance of Christ's revealed truth. John 8 verse 12. That is why I said, I want to do something tonight by the grace of God, for I want to show you something, the Lord helping me, for we are on the amen side, we are on holy ground. May I reiterate, the man who holds the lead apostolic ministry of completion has to have answers to Bible questions if he is truly the one that is ordained by God to carry the blueprint for the completion of Gentile redemption. I appreciate your patience, but remember, my challenge is twofold, for I am asking, firstly, where is the ministry of completion? We all talk about the beginning ministry of William Branham, who brought us out of Babylon, the world of organized religion, but who takes us up? Where is the ministry of completion, the ministry of possession? Secondly, who carries the ending blueprint of redemption? Someone has to carry the entire blueprint of universal redemption. And whoever carries the ending blueprint of redemption, redemption in its ending divine plot, in its ending phase, must have all old truths, plus new truths of Jesus Christ of the Holy Scriptures. Because the revelation of God is inherently progressive, and hence, absolutely continuous. He must just have Bible answers to Bible questions, and he must tie up all the loose ends in the message, bringing absolute clarity and depth to the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want to quote some things to you as I now bring my message to a close. Thank you for bearing with me in this meeting. I appreciate your patience, and may the Lord bless you all. In January 1963, in his sermon titled, Spirit of Truth, Brother Branham gave a key message to the word bride, declaring prophetically, it may be my going home time. It looks very much that way. If it is, this being so, there will arise somebody after me that will take the message on. He'll be an old person, but he'll rise after this and take the message on. And you listen to it. As long as it's scripture, stay with it. So, what ministry is this? It is a successor lead ministry, a continuity ministry, bearing a continuing message. And exactly what message is it bearing? It is the continuing message of the Holy Bible, as a successor lead minister further and continuously unveils God's great master plan of global redemption for the bride, beyond what the Lord gave the bride through William Branham. As we must keep reiterating, the message that Brother Branham's successor lead ministry is to carry on with is not the sermon books of Brother Branham, it is a restored message of the Holy Bible. Because the message of Apostle Paul which Brother Branham preached is the message of Jesus Christ, a Bible message, the message of redemption. Hence, it is not about William Branham, it is all about Jesus Christ. It is all about the great redemption of God. That was why the Elijah of age openly declared on that day, saying to all who have ears to hear, there will arise somebody after me that will take the message on. May I warn that you cannot put this prophetic quote on the Holy Spirit unless you have spiritual brain damage, because I will simply ask you, just how did Brother Branham do all what he did in the ministry? Did he carry his ministry without the Holy Spirit? Was the Holy Spirit not present in his day and in his prophetic ministry, enabling him to do all that he was able to do? For anyone to now suggest or teach that this quote refers to the Holy Spirit as the one coming after him, you are a fool to say that. It is downright idiotic for anyone to say that. I do not say that to any particular person. I only say that to jolt someone, because someone somewhere needs to wake up. The issue is, how can anyone in his right thinking faculties tell me that in the quote, Brother Branham was speaking about the Holy Spirit? A preacher in Ghana even said that Brother Branham was speaking about himself, that he was referring to himself, as if Brother Branham could succeed himself from the grave. That is just how utterly ridiculous and idolatrous some people can be. What a load of nonsense. This bunch of idolaters. Church, the old person whom Brother Branham said would come after him to take the message on, is none other than the first fruit of Elijah's ministry, the beginning office of the apostolic fold of ministry, the chief apostle, who was Brother Raymond Jackson. Period. May I add that following the death of Brother Branham, on this entire planet, and in the day, there was no man who bore the great depth and rich expanse of the revelation of the Holy Bible that Brother Jackson bore for the Bride of Christ Universal. It took Brother Jackson, under God, to even put the message of Brother Branham in its true scriptural perspective, to begin with, by removing the fan for the elect bride. Scripturally speaking, inarguably, he was most certainly the man whom the Lord used to take the message on, bearing fresh carcass, because it is all about Jesus Christ, the Word of God. And the message of Jesus Christ being progressively given is continuous, enabling an ever-increasing measure of light that adorns the Bride of Christ, until she goes in the rapture, standing in the full revelatory stature of Jesus Christ. That is precisely why it is infallibly and immutably written in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, "But the pathway of the justified, is as a shining light, that shineth more and more, ever increasing in its intensity, unto the perfect day of redemption, the day of the redemption of the purchased possession." After the death of Brother Branham, there was only one ministry in which Proverbs 4 verse 18 operated, having full application for the revelatory leadership of the universal bride, and that was in the chief apostolic ministry of the end time Paul, Raymond Jackson. The prophet also earnestly warned in the quote, saying, "And you listen to it, as long as it's scripture, not as long as it is in the sermon books, but as long as it is the Holy Scripture, as long as it is solidly Bible-based, stay with it." This gives us nothing but the takeover lead ministry from Brother Branham, the subsequent standard-bearing ministry of Brother Raymond Jackson. However, after over five decades, it is most certain that the Branham movement are not hearing anything, and they will not hear anything, being a pack of unbelievers and idolaters, which is precisely why they stoutly refuse the ministry of the end-time Paul, as it is written of them in Matthew chapter 13, verses 13 to 14. "Therefore speak I to them in parables, because the seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, and neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive." And to think that Brother Branham left many witnesses about his successor lead ministry, the takeover apostolic lead ministry. For instance, he also preached a sermon dated December the 19th, 1954, and titled Divine Healing, where he equally declared, "You can sit in your church and hear Dr. Church and them, the very doctrines of the same church that believe the same thing, denies the Bible being inspired. God have mercy. I don't want no organization, but help me to live so that in my generation, I'll not stand in another generation. I'll have nothing to judge them. I'll not have to stand the judgment with them, but I'll have to stand the judgment with men and women who I've lived with. That's where it counts yonder in the resurrection. Now hear this. When my days is finished and I've done my best, If I be God's servant, God will raise him up another man in the day when I'm gone. In the next junction of time in Laodicea, the second junction of time in this seventh age. So there's no need of me setting something around my theology. Is me to live in what light I have, and will till, on God. For the next generation to come, he will have a man there when the generation comes up, who was Raymond Jackson, the end time Paul. Brother Branham ended this testimony by saying, Amen. Oh my! Again, in 1963, also speaking specifically about his successor lead ministry, in his message, titled, The Seven Seals, page 512, paragraphs 326 to 328, Brother Branham declared, It may be time, it may be the hour now, that this great person that we're expecting to rise on the scene may rise on the scene for the universal bride. Maybe this ministry, as Elijah, that I have tried to take people back to the Word, has laid a foundation, and if it has, this being so, I'll believe in you, for good. There won't be two of us here at the same time, as standard bearers, as two men cannot carry the divine blueprint of redemption at the same time, but only consecutively. Hence, the prophet added, See, if it is true, he'll increase, I'll decrease, because it would be Jesus Christ by his Spirit in the chief apostle, conveying the unseen headship of Christ to the bride. I don't know, but I have been privileged by God to look and see what it was. See unfold to that much. Now that is the truth. That was how we ended it, and it is a truth we have brought out in our book, titled, He That Is To Come, a truth which we further reinforced in another of our books, titled, He That Is To Come, Truth in Conflict, My Defense. Brothers and sisters, these quotes of Elijah, open admissions of the prophet, lets us know without any iota of doubt that this great plan of redemption and the message of redemption definitely outlives him, demanding a successor lead ministry, another standard bearer. For the message of eternal life that we have in Jesus Christ, the Word of God, goes on, because it is all about Jesus Christ, and it is bigger than William Branham. Therefore, we must always remember, the Word of redemption began in eternity, and it is taking us to eternity, and as such, we must follow it in its continuous unveiling till we see Jesus, the promised Messiah, the Logos, who was in the beginning with God, as he returns in the sky, on the day of rapture. Amen. Saints of God, when Raymond Jackson took over, bearing his chief apostolic ministry for about 39 solid years, he also pointed forward in April 2004, and about 7 months after he bore this open testimony of his successor lead apostolic ministry, he was also called home. Church, now listen closely. For just as Brother Branham had pointed forward to his takeover lead ministry, his successor lead ministry, which is that of Brother Jackson, the chief apostle, Brother Branham also pointed forward to the end in lead ministry, thereby giving the end time John a place, a witness within the structure of truth that he carried as Elijah, the star messenger, whose Bible restoring message formed a scaffold around the true revelation of Jesus Christ to this seventh and final church age. This is an absolute truth that we laid out in a message in the scribe titled, John, Completing the Voice of the Seventh Angel. Church, beginning with the sermon Brother Branham preached on January the 15th, 1963, titled, Accepting God's Provided Way at the End Time, the prophet gave a very remarkable and profound prophetic witness. For as it is written in John chapter 16, verse 13, Howbeit when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, and he will show you things to come. Hence, on page 37, paragraphs 279 to 281, during the prayer line, when the angel of the Lord had now descended into the meeting, Brother Branham declared, Now, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I take this audience under my control, but for the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask you, as believers, don't you move. Set still. Now listen to this, and you believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that I'm here, as Elijah, to make known his works, God's works, and his ways. God's ways or relating to redemption to post us ahead. Now watch, I've been very reluctant on these things. The 16 years I've been on the field. What did Brother Branham hold for 15, 16 years that he was afraid to deliver to the people? But there's an hour coming now, a junction of time that is ahead, when something is fixing to take place. And what exactly is this thing? The message will go to another nation, another people. Did you hear that? The prophet declared, the message of Christ, this Bible message, will go to another nation in its carriage, another people, meaning another race. Church, we must realize that in this prophetic quote, the prophet was not saying that his sermons will go to another nation, another people, because he had carried his message around the globe, but he meant precisely this, the continuing message of Christ in its racial carriage will go to another nation, another race. In other words, church, this quote gives us the unavoidable coming change in the race of the one to carry the gospel of Christ in the ending phase of redemption, for it gives us the input of Ham. It is a truth we have brought out in our book, which was also laid out in the scribe, both titled The Input of Ham. Saints of God, may I ask, exactly what do you think God is doing in the earth today? Because the infallible and immutable promise of God to Abraham was recorded in Genesis 12 verse 3 and reconfirmed in Genesis 20 to verse 18, which is universal redemption, covers all families of the earth. For it is God getting a human family for himself through this great and elaborate process of redemption, made up of all races, all nations, and all tribes as the predestinated inhabitants of planet Earth in eternity. It means, in essence, that in God's great plan of universal salvation, we have to see the crucial and major place of the three lineages produced by the three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, through whom God repopulated the earth after it was judged by a flood, bringing forth all the races, all the nations, and all the tribes which we now have on earth. Acts 17, verse 26. The lineage of Shem gave the world the entire oracles of God and sent forth the gospel of life. And the lineage of Japheth carried the gospel for the whole world. And now in this third and final junction of time, in this seventh and final age, the lineage of Ham is carrying the gospel in its ending move, bringing completion and closure to universal redemption. That is why the lead apostle John is from the lineage of Ham, because Ham is in the covenant, a truth which the prophet had to hold to himself for about 15 to 16 years, all because of the extreme stinking racial prejudice of the Japhetic race towards the Hamitic race. In part 1 of this message, titled, Before There Was Moses and Elijah, we dealt with this issue, for we proved that God walks through the races, and we set out the input of these three main races of humanity in God's plan of redemption. And again, in 1960, when Brother Branham was taking his message, titled, The Seven Church Ages, page 174, paragraph 2. He gave a very revealing declaration, speaking specifically about the ending ministry, earnestly warning, Now I want you to be very careful here and see this. God has promised that at the end time Malachi 4 is going to be fulfilled, referring to himself. It has to be, for it is the spirit quickened word of God spoken by the prophet Malachi. Jesus referred to it. It is just before Christ comes the second time. By the time Jesus comes, for his royal bride, all scripture must be fulfilled, including Revelation 10, verses 8 to 11. The Gentile dispensation will be in its last church age. When the messenger of Malachi comes, Brother Branham was still referring to himself. He, Elijah of Malachi 4, verse 6b, Brother Branham, will be right with the word. He, Elijah, Brother Branham, will take the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It is okay for Brother Branham to testify of himself, but let another man testify of himself, and the movement go berserk, crying, There is no other messenger we are expecting outside of Brother Branham. Stay with the message. You are testifying about yourself, instead of preaching the message of the prophet. Yuck, yuck, yuck. Brothers and sisters, now open your eyes to this, and watch what Brother Branham now declared. He, Elijah, William Branham, We'll start at the serpent seed and carry on to the messenger in the latter rain. Brother Branham will carry on to the messenger in the latter rain. Brother Branham openly and clearly admitted right here that there is the messenger of Jesus Christ ordained for the coming hour of the latter rain, which is when the prophet said the bride will produce her fruit, in 1962, when he was taking the message, titled, The Spoken Word is the Original Seed. During the morning session, the prophet stated, Say now, why I have been so zealous of the kind of seed that I have planted for the body. The rain's going to fall pretty soon. I mean the real rain, a matchless or unprecedented rain. And it is precisely for this latter rain that Brother Branham sowed the seed of the word that he sowed, just as he now declared. And it's got to have seed to fall on. I hope I live to see it. Now, what's the matter now? She is now waiting for the latter rain. That's when she produces her fruits. And the prophet stated clearly and emphatically in 1960, in the seven church ages, that there is the messenger in the latter rain. That is an open declaration, an open testimony about the successive lead apostle to Brother Jackson, the Paul of this end time. Church, what is the movement going to do with these quotes? Without any ambiguity, meaning, in clear and categorical terms, Brother Branham gave us the messenger in the latter rain, a minor messenger in relation to Elijah, but major in relation to the universal bride of Jesus Christ, and hence, the bride's ending blueprint holder. Church, this gives us nothing but the ending lead apostolic ministry of Gentile redemption, the final standard bearer, or the last Gentile candlestick of Jesus Christ, Apostle John, the lead ministry of closure. Because the rapture will take place right during the latter rain, in the hour of the messenger in the latter rain. Someone has to wake up before it is too late. All these prophetic and Bible-based quotes, which all point forward to God's continuing and ending move for the universal nation of the Bride of Christ in this last age, which the Branham movement blatantly and willfully deny and reject, proves beyond any shadow of doubt that the movement most certainly do not believe the prophets they profess to believe and follow. That is why I will continue to call them a pack of unbelievers and idolaters. They are exactly like the children of Israel who claim they believe the ministry of prophet Ezekiel. Yet, in Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 30 to 33, the Lord warned Ezekiel, Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against it by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. Meaning that they say to one another, Let us hear the message of the hour. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they see before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they shew much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. Exactly. They did not want truth. And, lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. And just who will the movement blame when they miss the rapture? And when they have to face the man of sin, when the truth has been so plainly laid out before them in black and white. This reminds me of the serious indictment of the Jews recorded in the Gospel of St. John chapter 5, which our Lord Jesus gave, where in verses 45 to 47, he openly declared, Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, truly believed Moses, ye would have believed me. Why? For he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? And that, brothers and sisters, is exactly the sad state of the Branham movement. They do not genuinely believe William Branham, and they never will. So just how will they believe Paul and or John? Brothers and sisters, it is obvious that Christendom at this end time is exactly in the shoes that Judaism was in the earthly days of Jesus Christ, holy apostate. That was precisely why in Matthew chapter 23, coming to Jerusalem and seeing Herod's pathetic spiritual state, Jesus cried out in verses 37 to 38, saying, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And her desolation came in 70 AD, by the hand of the Roman army, under the command of General Titus, when Jerusalem was destroyed, along with the temple, and the Jews were massacred, and the remnant were scattered away, sold as slaves in the slave markets of Europe, and scattered to the four winds. The nation of Israel ceased to exist until May 1948, when her nationhood was restored. Church, the second to the last witness of Elijah that we will take, which is still about the end in lead ministry, relates to the Jewish connection which Brother Branham thought that he would make. A meeting had been arranged for him in Israel. He bought a ticket to Israel and took off from America. The Lord allowed him to buy his ticket. The Lord allowed him to board the plane. And then, when his plane landed in Egypt, in Africa, to refuel, just a few minutes to take off, and a few hours away from Jerusalem, the angel of the Lord came to him and instructed him to go back. The issue is, why did the omniscient God sovereignly choose to wait till Brother Branham landed in Africa before telling him to go back? Knowing that our God is a God of purpose, who does not do something for nothing, the Lord did that to show the importance of the particular location, Africa, in his great plan of redemption. Because Brother Branham thought that he would be the one to make the Jewish connection. In his message dated 1961, and titled Gabriel's Instruction to Daniel, beginning from paragraph 150, Brother Branham testified, saying, Israel returning to their homeland, Israel. Let me just say this now while I guess it's of a tip. Let me say this. The very hour that Israel became a nation, the reason I've always believed, for, that is, before, my class here, that there was something that I'd have a part, before I die, of getting Israel back to the Lord. Skipping to paragraph 151, to consider one of the material reasons Brother Branham gave for believing that he would make the Jewish connection, he stated, Now, then, another thing that gives me to know, it's restoring the hearts of the children back to their fathers, and the hearts of the fathers to the children. The message. Notice, Malachi 4, not 3, 4. In other words, one of the reasons he believed he would make the Jewish connection is the fact of his prophetic ministry as the Elijah of Malachi 4 verse 6b. He continued in paragraph 152, saying, another thing, meaning, another reason that made him believe that he would make the Jewish connection is what he now sets forth in his next statement, as he testified. When Billy, my son, and I, and Aaron Baxter, was on our road to Palestine, after we had met the Jews at Brother Agenbright's, and they seen the meeting, Louis Petrus had sent these Bibles over there. And he said, these Jews come, said, if you will call up a bunch of the leaders of Israel, I mean, not these new rabbis with all their ceremonies, but call the real Israelite leaders together. And we have read this New Testament, and we know that when the Messiah come out, he'll tell us these things, like the woman at Samaria. We know that Moses said our Messiah would be a prophet. And when you can tell them and show them, by the scripture, that which we will get in tonight's message, that they had to be darkened and their hearts cut off, so that the Gentile space could come, that we'd have a time of reconciliation for the Gentiles. And their hearts were hardened just exactly like it was in time of Joseph, and so forth. And then bring those Jews to a place, and call those men from that audience, just like you do these Gentiles here, by the inspiration of the Spirit. That is, displaying his prophetic gift, showing the secrets in the hearts of men. Cause, they said, if this Jesus, if he is the Messiah, and your words are true, then he is not dead, and he's alive. And if he is alive, he promised to be in his servants, his disciples. And if we can see him do the sign of the prophet, then we will believe that he is Messiah. The Jewish connection was arranged for Brother Branham, and he took off for Israel. Skipping to paragraph 153, Brother Branham continued his testimony, saying, And I was on my road, and stood at Cairo, Egypt, with a ticket in my hand, and 15 or 20 minutes of calling time. They was fixing to make the call, and I walked down to see a little piece of this ebony, with a little elephant made out of ebony, with an ivory tusk. I was going to send it to a doctor friend of mine, Dr. Sammy Dare, for a paperweight. And I was looking at it, and something said to me, "This is not yet the hour. Stay out of Palestine." So I thought, that was just me thinking that. And I went on. Something said, "This is not the hour." And I went out behind the hangar. I raised up my head to God. I said, "God, was that you speaking to me?" Said, "This is not the hour. Stay out of Palestine," meaning, stay away from Israel. And the Lord told him precisely why. The angel of the Lord said, "This is not the time." Then I took my ticket and changed it, and went from there up through Rome, and come back to Lisbon, in Portuguese, and from there back to the United States. The hour was not yet. For the Jewish connection is an ending move. The iniquity of the Gentiles hasn't filled up yet, just to the end of the cup, for this connection to happen. Now listen to this plain and categorical prophetic declaration. But someday that will be, and God will send somebody there. A singular person, not persons, but the God will send somebody there. That's a prophet, and will prove to them. Meaning, that this Jewish connecting prophet will prove to them that Jesus Christ is indeed the promised Jewish Messiah by manifesting the messianic signs, which is prophetic. In other words, he will go as a prophet, bearing the full attributes of a prophet, with prophetic signs, for that is what Israel recognizes. As we all know, God deals with Israel only by prophets. Brother Branham concluded, saying this about the coming Gentile prophet connector, "I trust that God will raise him up right away, whoever he may be, that to raise him quickly. I believe it has to come." That's what we're studying this for, that we're so close. Church, remember in 96 AD, the anointing John carried was a prophetic anointing, and it enabled him to carry a prophetic message, one that is unparalleled in the entire Bible, and John bore that because he held the ministry of completion for the inspired written record. The Holy Bible promised us the return ministry of John, who will equally carry a prophetic anointing after Christ opens the seventh seal in heaven and the mighty angel comes down to John with the fully open scroll of redemption to activate his prophetic ministry. Church, when we consider this prophet, the Gentile prophet whom Brother Branham said will make the Jewish connection, we are even looking at a connection in reverse, and as such, we have to take this connector and tie it to the end in the apostolic ministry of John. We must not forget that the man who made the first connection, the Gentile connection, was an apostle, for he was the chief apostle to the Jews, St. Peter, as recorded in Acts chapter 10, opening the door for the Gentile ministry to begin. Therefore, we cannot take the man who will make the Jewish connection away from the ending lead apostolic ministry of John, knowing scripturally that his ministry is what wraps up God's dealing with the universal nation of the bride, as a blueprint holder, and particularly, as his ministry ends with the prophetic. This is a truth we have laid out in the scribe, titled, The Jewish Connection. Saints of God, in his message delivered in 1960, titled, The Seven Church Ages, page 36, paragraph 5, Brother Branham referred specifically to this carryover, Jewish connecting ministry, plainly declaring, "Now, when is the gospel returning to the Jews? When the day of the Gentiles is finished, the gospel is ready to go back to the Jews." Oh, if I could just tell you something that is about to happen right in this our day. This great thing that is about to happen, when it eventually happens in this seventh age, will carry over, connect to Revelation 11 and pick up those two witnesses, those two prophets, Moses and Elijah, turning the gospel back to the Jews. We're ready for it. Everything is in order. As the Jews brought the message to the Gentiles, even so the Gentiles will take it right back to the Jews, and the rapture will come. Brothers and sisters, if you cannot see the connecting prophetic ministry of John, revealed in Revelation 10 verses 8 to 11, and in Revelation 11 verse 1, connecting with Moses, and Elijah in Revelation 11 verses 3 to 6, I cannot help you. in the day, John will be carrying a prophetic anointing, which does not add any jot to the Holy Scriptures, but he will be bearing a prophetic anointing, nonetheless, conveying the unwritten revelation of God, coming fresh and direct from heaven. And since, unlike John, who bore an outstanding and unparalleled written prophetic revelation in 96 AD, in the first age of Christendom, the end time John will not be adding one jot to the written scriptures, for the outstanding quality of his ministry will be the prophetic attributes of a true prophet that he will bear, giving us the full signs of the Messiah, discerning the thoughts in the hearts of men, with miracles, signs, and wonders. It fulfills the third pool in its awesome miraculous phase, which is its second phase, carrying the power of the spoken word, and it also fulfills the dual application of Luke chapter 17, verse 30, a truth we brought out in the scribe message, titled Luke 17:30. In other words, John's prophetic ministry will be a different kettle of fish, being a climax, the ministry of completion, and hence, the ministry of possession and conclusion, the ending lead ministry whom Elijah prophetically referred to as the messenger in the latter rain. It is Ecclesiastes 7 verse 8, in real expression, bearing an ending divine glory. For as God opened up the Red Sea for Moses, God also opened up the River Jordan for Joshua. As Archangel Michael came to Moses, Archangel Michael also came to Joshua. As God wrought miracles and wonders through Moses, God also wrought miracles and wonders through Joshua, that in Joshua chapter 10, even the sun and the moon stood still at the command of Joshua. Why? We are looking at the ending glory of redemption, for in the days of Joshua, it was the ending glory of the natural redemption of Israel. And coming to the ending glory of the reality of universal redemption, it will outclass both the days of Apostle Paul and that of William Branham. In the coming hour of the latter rain, which Brother Branham himself longed to see, for he said, "I hope I live to see it." So, let us ask the Branham movement, what are you going to do with all these quotes, serious prophetic quotes, Bible-based quotes, all of which devolve upon God's great plan of universal redemption? If you truly believe Brother Branham, you will most certainly believe these scriptural quotes and act upon them, because they are solidly Bible-based. They are quotes which have their firm basis in the ministry structure laid out in God's great plan of universal redemption, great quotes by which Elijah pointed forward to the end in lead ministry, the lead ministry of completion and possession. How most unbelieving the movement is, how utterly apostate, what a mixed multitude of chronic unbelievers, passionate haters of the Holy Scriptures. May I say this, and let the wise catch it, try all you may. It is not possible for the movement to believe these quotes, as they cannot move on. Having come out of Babylon, and being a mixed multitude, it is absolutely impossible for them to move on, in the continuing light of redemption, that they may go in. You may ask, why not? It is because only the true elect seeds of God can move on, and go up. Only the end-time elect children of God can have their hearts turned to their fathers, their apostolic fathers, that they may go up. And it is all because indeed, the movement really do not believe their prophet, as they are non-seeds, who can never appropriate the light. For as it is written in Psalm 97, verse 11, light is sown for the righteous, and only for the righteous. Church, I have just two more quotes that we are going to retake, which are quotes of the end-time Paul, quotes of Brother Raymond Jackson, in order to reiterate a crucial truth. And we will close. I thank you for your patience, and I also thank you for your understanding, and this appreciation goes to all the saints online. In his message in the Contender Data July 2009, and titled, Seven Trumpets and Seven Vials, which we considered earlier, Brother Jackson gave the testimony of a sister, where he stated, a sister gave a testimony the other day, about talking to a man. His conversation came down to where he said, well, we believe there will be somebody rise on the scene that will take all the loose ends and tie them together, especially the trumpets and vials and things like that. I remember when Brother William Branham preached the seals. Shortly after the seals were preached, he said, I plan to bring a message on the trumpets next, but when the time came, he said the Lord told me it is not time. Let me say this, and I say to the glory of the Lord who inspired it all, when it comes to the book of Revelation, we have the light of God on it, and God has helped us to put a lot of things in their true prophetic perspective for the universal bride of Christ, tying loose ends on various Bible subjects, except on the seven trumpets. The message of the seven trumpets was laid out by Brother Jackson, but there are still issues relating to it that his message did not resolve. In other words, there is a measure of the revelation of the trumpets that God did not give to Brother Jackson, and that is why we have questions relating to the seven trumpets, which his continuity message did not resolve and cannot resolve. Nevertheless, the fact remains that the revelation of the seven trumpets did not come through Brother Branham, although he thought he would preach on them right after the seals. It was Brother Jackson that God used to open it up and lay it out for the universal bride, even though it was only to a measure, which is precisely why there are questions we still cannot answer on the seven trumpets as we speak. However, I will guarantee you tonight, knowing the absolute faithfulness of the Lord to his great plan of redemption, being a covenant-keeping God, that before we finish presenting this continued message of Jesus Christ of the Holy Scriptures in the scribe, we will have the answers, all the answers, to the seven trumpets, so we can then lay them out with the three woes and the seven vials. We are almost at the end of this great work that God has established here in Africa. And before we finish producing this continued message of universal redemption, the continued message of Jesus Christ, in the Scribe magazine, we will have the answers to the seven trumpets. That is the reason we have not touched it, because we do not have all the answers, as we can only know it to a measure, although it is a good measure. But until we have all the answers, we will simply leave it there. It is most certain, however, that by the grace of God, before this great work is finished, we will have all the answers, because the Spirit of Truth is here, and God will give the balance. Nevertheless, brothers and sisters, the truth also remains that God has helped us to tie up every remaining loose end in the message, except the issue of the seven trumpets. Look at it. This Trinidadian message preacher, Dalton Bruce, spoke about the three great things of the third pool, which Brother Branham spoke about, but he admitted, saying, "We do not know what they are." Well, I have news for the movement tonight. By the grace of God, we have the answer, for we know exactly what the three great things of the third pool are. We have brought out this truth in the scribe, titled, "The Third Pool." Again, when Brother Branham was preaching on the seventh seal, he revealed that the seventh seal is in a threefold mystery. Yet he spoke of only one fold of it, which he tied to the seven thunders. Today, by the grace of God, we also have the answer, for we have the revelation of the threefold mystery, which we have equally laid out in the scribe, titled, "The Threefold Mystery of the Seventh Seal." For loose ends have been perfectly and beautifully tied for us by the Spirit of Truth. Open your eyes. That is a revelatory responsibility of the Endenid Apostolic Ministry, for that is precisely why he eats the entire scroll of redemption, having all the material answers, tying up every remaining loose end, giving the elect royal bride a full, complete, entire, and wholesome, pure message of Jesus Christ of the Holy Bible. That is the messenger in the latter rain. He is the man of whom the chief apostle equally stated, "God will raise up a ministry which will be the third phase of what he, God, is starting to do, through William Branham, Elijah, in restoring the bride to originality." Consequently, saints of God, we are looking squarely at the ending ministry of John, who takes us up, Elijah having brought us out. So, brothers and sisters, I say this, what are you going to do with all these quotes, and with the word of God that has been laid out in plain view? How can you believe Brother Branham? When he spoke about the messenger in the latter rain, the same prophet spoke about the prophetic Jewish connector. The same prophet spoke about the carryover ministry to the two olive trees, Moses and Elijah. And the same prophet also spoke about the coming change in the racial carriage of the gospel, that the message will be taken from the Japhetic race to which he belonged, who have been carrying it since the second church age, that it will go to another nation, another people, another race, which can only give us the Hamitic race, because the days of Israel receiving the gospel is not yet here, and you still see nothing, and you are still not moved to do something. You are not moved to follow the ending light of universal redemption. So, I ask once more, because an elect seed has to wake up somewhere, what are you going to do with all these very important prophetic quotes, Bible-based quotes, quotes which border on God's great plan of the redemption of the nation of the royal bride? May I even ask you, what do you think God is doing today in Africa? Exactly what do you think is going on today in Africa, the tabernacles of Ham? It is the continuing climax in and concluding light of the pure and non-adulterated word of Christ, sounding forth to the elect royal nation of the universal bride of Jesus Christ, from the Joshuaic lead apostolic ministry of John. However, if they do not believe Brother Branham's message, just why will they believe John's message? They certainly do not believe the prophet. If they believe the prophet, with all these quotes which are pointing forward to another man, a continuing and concluding ministry of global redemption, they would stand for truth. They would have received and walked in the glorious continuing light of the Holy Bible. The truth is, they do not believe the Elijah prophet of Malachi 4 verse 6b. They never have, and they never will. In John chapter 5, a passage we used earlier, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ indicted the unbelieving so-called followers of the message of Moses, declaring in verses 45 to 47, "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father, God. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, a type of Brother Branham, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, truly believed Brother Branham, ye would have believed me, Jesus, who is characterized in John, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, his testimonies, how shall ye believe my words?" Exactly. They were only a self-deceived and deluded bunch of followers. It is just as Apostle Paul stated in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 5 to 9, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They deny the power or the authority of the Holy Bible, the Holy Scriptures, flagrantly trampling and nullifying the Word of God, which is God's absolute. From such turn away, run away, if you truly have a rapture to catch. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning the message of Elijah, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth of the Holy Scriptures. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth of the present-day Joshua, men of corrupt minds, reprobates concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Because as the end time Paul declared, there is coming a showdown at sundown, a most spectacular and mind-boggling supernatural move of God, designed to vindicate the word of the God of truth, on an unprecedented scale. This now moves me to make this declaration, and you are at liberty to do with it whatever you will, but please listen closely to what I say. This third and final move of God, this move of John, divinely established way back in eternity, in the mind of Elohim, for the redemption of the elect royal bride of Jesus Christ, is the very move in which, firstly, both the image of William Branham and the Bible-restoring message that he brought will be repaired before the whole wide world. Because we are carrying his message in a way the religious world cannot touch, being presented strictly by the Holy Bible, and in a way that is scripture perfect, a divine way that will cause all the sons of Anakims to bow, even though they will not follow, and it will bring spiritual death to every Achan who is still in the camp of the elect bride, and it will also make every wall of Jericho also come down. The wall of Jericho and River Jordan cannot and will not stand in the way of this end-time royal bride of Christ, for she is ordained for glory, being heaven-bound. Secondly, it is in this John move that the end objective of why God sent William Branham in the first place will be realized, because the essence of sending Elijah is to get the elect bride fully ready for the translation, the catching up to heaven, and the mystical return of Jesus Christ, her royal bridegroom. Do not forget, the reason God sent Moses to Egypt was to get natural Israel into the promised land, and the reason God also sent William Branham is to get spiritual Israel, the royal bride of Christ, for the marriage to the Son of God in heaven. Hence, Brother Branham got us out, but John is taking us up, both moves being accomplished strictly under God, the coming out and the going up. Finally, brothers and sisters, when we wrote our book in serious defense of the prophet, titled Dispensational Messengers, Lead Ministries, in defense of William Branham, we sent a few copies to Brother Khalil Shaffers, and he freely chose to send a copy to an end-time message preacher in his country of South Africa, called Emil Victor. Now this Emil Victor, who I do not know, is a white South African, wrote Brother Khalil a very interesting reply about that book, and I am sharing for material parts, and please note that all emphasis is mine. I had a look at the book. It is mostly about the need of another leader, and many quotes where Brother Branham speaks of another one after him who will continue with the message right to the end of the last age. I know about those quotes, and I am also aware that this present confusion in the worldwide message needs a scriptural correction from the Lord. Brother Branham speaks about a short quick message that will circle the earth for just a few months, and that is what we are waiting for. The man plainly admitted that Brother Branham spoke of another man who is to come, who will carry the message on to the end of the grace age. The question is, who is the man? Who is this man? And why do they choose not to believe the man, and instead do their own things? He even admitted knowing those quotes, and yet he did nothing, but carried on as if he had read nothing. Furthermore, he attested to the confusion that has engulfed and continues to plague the movement, admitting that it needed a scriptural correction from the Lord. But the point is, how is this correction from the Lord to come? How is the correction to come without a blueprint holder, an apostolic guide under Christ? Just how will it come? Is it coming out of the blues? Is God going to use a spirit angel to accomplish it? How does scriptural correction come to a global body of people? Come on! Will heaven open, and a trumpet sound, declaring, end-time message preachers and followers, hear my correction. Oh my! Lord have mercy. Look at where the man ended. For lastly, Emil Victor even admitted that Brother Branham spoke of a message that will circle the globe. Brothers and sisters, may I say this. We are not in want of a message. What we are in want of is not a message. We are only in want of time and money, the time to produce it, and the money to print in multi around the globe. Since we are not able to print our scribes only because we do not have the money to do so, which is why we are just uploading them online. We even owe the church workers a lot of money, a great amount in salary arrears, apart from the bills for the storage of the scribes that we incur every year, both in the United Kingdom and in Nigeria. But let me tell you tonight, knowing that we serve the God of all creation, Jehovah Jireh, the great provider, we will print every scribe and mail them around the globe, because this continuing and concluding message for the redemption of the elect universal bride of Christ is going to go round the earth for the spiritual edification of the true bride body. We do realize that the bride of Christ cannot read this message on their little mobile phones, and only extremely few brethren around the globe have tablets or iPads. For most of God's elect children are poor people, who do not even have the money to personally print the scribes that are online. Therefore, they need the printed scribes, and it is for this reason, the scribe messages must be printed, and they will be printed, in God's time, for the Lord makes things beautiful in His own time. We would like to acknowledge and thank all the saints around the globe, who financially support the great work of the scribe. May the Lord continue to bless you. But rest assured, this message will most definitely be printed. This continuing, climaxing, and concluding message of the Holy Bible will go round this world for the sake of the nation of the Bride of Christ. Forget about the bad financial state of things that we are facing right now, and the fact that we do not have money, because God, who makes a way where there is no way, and who brings forth something out of nothing, will most certainly make a way. For He is God, and He is in full charge. The great work for the redemption of the nation of the bride that God established here in Africa will not suffer, but God will surely pay the bill for the printer scribes to go. All the gold is the Lord's. All the oil and gas wells are his, and all the diamond pits are also his, for God made all things. If the sermon books are still going round the world, having served God's purpose, for God is paying the bill. Likewise, the content magazine, even though it now also carries the excrement, the poo, of James Allen, who wickedly hijacked that medium of truth that was established exclusively for the Paul of this end time, is also still going round the world. Brothers and sisters, then this present, continuing, climax in, and concluding message of Christ that is born in the Scribe magazine, will equally go round the globe, because the perfecting of the saints, the universal bride of Christ, depends on it. Listen once again to what this South African preacher openly admitted. Brother Branham speaks about a short, quick message that will circle the earth for just a few months. And that is what we are waiting for. What a condemnation. What self-condemnation. And what self-indictment. What a damning admission. The man read the book, titled, Dispensational Messengers, Lead Ministries, in defense of William Branham, and saw absolutely nothing. Yet, Brother William Branham has never heard such a level of defense, a defense that was produced by the sheer grace of God, particularly in relation to the prophetic mold that was thrown on him by Kenneth E. Hagin, a prophecy which the Pentecostal evangelical world still use, and a prophecy which no one in the movement has ever been able to handle. What does Emil Fischer think God is using the Scribe magazine to do around the globe? Exactly what does he think is going on right now? What does he think this continuing and concluding message is? That is precisely why we are trying so hard, pushing ourselves to finish this work of putting the continuing message of Jesus Christ of the Holy Bible in the Scribe in a crystal clear and extremely simple format, so the message can go forth around the globe for the statural growth of the universal bride of Christ. These men just do not seem to realize that you cannot have a message for the universal body of God's people out of the blues. And you most certainly cannot have a message circling the earth, even for a few months, as the man claimed, without that message having first been put together in its total revelatory content, in a way that is scripture perfect, ensuring utmost depth, divine richness, absolute clarity, and total simplicity of presentation, taking away all ambiguity and confusion, guaranteeing divine revelatory unity, a process which takes much time. Come on! This is a message that is carrying God's entire plan of universal redemption in its nitty-gritty details, taken in every gemstone of revealed truth and in its four divine attributes, qualities, prophetic revelations, mysteries, doctrines, and instructions in righteousness, all that are ordained for the spiritual adornment of the elect bride and for the actualization of the unity of the faith and perfection, spiritual maturity, attaining the fullness of Christ's spiritual stature by the universal body of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, it is settled, the bride will be a full and complete embodiment of the Spirit of Christ, a perfect, magnificent, and glorious expression of the Word, an awesome personification of the revealed Word of God. It is as it is written in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13, and He, Christ, gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. For what precise purpose? Now listen, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry of Christ, for the edifying, building, of the body of Christ, till we all, in the universal body of Christ, come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We have to see that this great work, and this divine objective, is one which definitely cannot be accomplished in just a few months, as this South African message preacher has cunningly and falsely claimed. This is apart from the salient and absolute fact, an irrefutable scriptural fact, that that message must have a carrier, and it most certainly does have a carrier, the one who carries it for the universal body of ministry, who will make up the reproduced pure and original New Testament efficient fivefold ministry, if only they would have some respect for this Bible-promised ministry, which they never have and which they never will. Consider this seriously, for history is always repeating itself. The Jewish religious leaders, the scribes and Pharisees, were rightly, correctly, teaching that Elijah would herald, precede, the coming of the promised Messiah. And yet, the same men missed both their Elijah and the Messiah, who came exactly as they had taught. John the Baptist, who was the promised Elijah, and Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, were both rejected by the same religious leaders of Jewry, who were also killed, because the scribes and Pharisees were preaching and teaching things which they had absolutely no clue about, no divine revelation. Matthew 17, verses 10 to 13. They were nothing but blind leaders of the blind, carnal preachers of the message of Moses and the prophets. They could see what Moses and the prophets promised, for they were smart enough to see those inspired writings, Bible quotes, but they had no iota of divine revelation, and hence, they rejected the same ministries they spoke about to the children of Israel, and got themselves into a great spiritual rut, a most pathetic spiritual condition which the Branham movement is also in today. Similarly, they readily admit to the upcoming ministry projections Brother Branham made, but yet, they deny the reality of the ministry that was spoken of when it is standing right before them. For as the Jews under Judaism, and as blind bats, they are always putting the fulfillment off to the future, ever denying what God is doing right before their very eyes, all because of their personal evil ambition, carnal ego, and stinking racial pride, being a pack of unbelievers. Brothers and sisters, we thank God for our portion, for it is indeed a goodly one. The light is obviously and notoriously getting brighter, and it can only get brighter, because as the children of light, we are feasting on the fresh carcass of the Word of God. We are the justified of the Lord, whose pathway is as a shining light, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day, only getting ever more brighter. Proverbs 4 verse 18. We are not chickens, we are eagles, God's eagles, and as eagles, we do not eat carrion, dead meat, and neither do we eat stale meal. We feast solely on the fresh kill of the Word of God, the Holy Bible, even as it is written in Matthew chapter 24, verse 28, for wheresoever the carcass is, there, and only there, will the eagles be gathered together. Hallelujah! I have shown you the truth by the message of William Branham. I have also shown you the truth by the continuity message of Raymond Jackson. And most importantly, I have further shown you the truth by the Holy Scriptures. Now tell me, on what basis will you reject the truth? Before there was Moses and Elijah, there was the Word of the God of redemption, and it is Jesus Christ, the Logos, the central thought of God back in eternity, the Word, that was made flesh, the serpent bruiser. And after Moses and Elijah, there is still the Word of God. I repeat, before there was Moses and Elijah, there was the Word of God. And after Moses and Elijah, there is still the Word of God. Before there was Paul, there was the Word of God. And after Paul, the Word of God abideth still. Before there was William Branham, there was the Word of God. And after William Branham, there is still the Word of God. For the Word of God is bigger than any man. It is bigger than any sinner saved by grace. The Word of God is most certainly bigger than William Branham. The Word of God is all about Jesus Christ, from Genesis to Revelation. It is all about God's great plan of universal redemption, which was all fully laid out way back in eternity, in God's sovereign and omniscient mind. Brothers and sisters, this redemption, the redemption of the Gentile universal nation of the bride, started with Apostle Paul. It has been a long journey. But this long journey ends with the Apostle John, and it ends precisely in this third and final junction of time, right here in this Laodicean age. The universal redemption that God promised Abraham began with the ministry of Apostle Paul in Romans 11 verse 13, and it is ending with the ministry of Apostle John in Revelation 10 verse 11. However, in Apostle John, we have unparalleled light, and in John, we will have everything of Christ that we are supposed to have, and with John, we are going in the rapture, for we are going up. He is the next step who leads us to the hour of the breaking of the seventh seal, a ministry step that Brother Branham saw and spoke about when he was taking his message on the seventh seal. And when the seventh seal is finally broken by Jesus Christ in heaven, the mighty angel will then descend to earth with the fully open scroll to John to ignite his prophetic ministry, which is the first mystery fold of the threefold mystery of the seventh seal, and that first mystery fold is the prophetic ministry of John. And when John's prophetic ministry has been set in motion, he will now put the universal bride on notice that the seventh seal has been broken, that we have now entered the hour of the thunders. He will go under the leadership of the Lord Jesus to the land of Israel as a prophet to reveal Jesus to an elect nucleus of Jews who have been instructed by the angel of the Lord to send for him, thereby reopening the door of salvation to the nation of Israel before the ministry of Israel, Moses, and Elijah are ignited. Church, with the Jewish connection made, the hour for the Lord to anoint the other thunders comes, and we say that because where we consider the seven thunders, John is a lead thunder. Seeing that the seven thunders are seven apostles known only to God, we must all know, therefore, that God cannot put seven apostles together as thunders and leave the lead apostle, the man who eats the entire scroll of redemption, the carrier of the ending blueprint of the universal redemption of the bride, out. Common sense will tell you, therefore, that if God puts the thunders together, and there are seven apostles, John will definitely be the lead thunder, for it is his thunder ministry that is ignited first, giving us the first full ministry mystery of the seventh seal. We brought out these truths in our scribe, titled, The Seven Prophetic Thunders. Following John's prophetic ministry being first expressed, all the thunders will also be ignited, one after the other, all carrying the unwritten revelation of God, the prophetic insights coming straight from heaven, pertaining to the rapture event itself, which is the translation of the royal bride of Jesus Christ. And in the hour of the prophetic ministry of the seven thunders, right under the leadership of Apostle John, the rapture is ignited, as Jesus returns in the sky for his royal bride, and we will go up to meet him in the air, with the resurrected bride saints, and with Jesus. We will move directly together to heaven, for the marriage with Christ, for the redemption of the nation of the bride is now fully realized, concluded. So, I ask, what are you going to do with the lead ministry of completion? Brothers and sisters, looking at the Gentile dispensation of grace, what started with Apostle Paul ends with Apostle John, and in this seventh and final age, still speaking with regards to the redemption of the universal nation of the bride of Christ, what started with Elijah still ends with John. I do not care how you look at it or where you go in the Holy Bible. John is the ending lead ministry. Brothers and sisters, that is precisely why the light of the Word of God that we have tonight has never been so bright. It has never been as bright, with Bible questions being perfectly answered, as the Spirit of Truth is resolving all conflicts, settling all issues, and taking away all arguments, giving oneness of revelation to the universal bride. Today, and in this last move, truth has an extremely rich, crystal clear, and most distinct tone. Hence, tonight, the Lord being our helper, immediately after this message, for about 30 minutes, we want to answer a question that we could not answer in the prophecy of God before now, an issue recorded in the book of prophet Ezekiel. Tonight, by the grace of God, we want to open up a prophecy of God and lay it on the line, scripturally. And I challenge the movement to center it by the Holy Bible, for it will hold. Before there was Moses and Elijah, and ever before there was even a twinkle twinkle little star, there was God's great plan of universal redemption. For way back in eternity, the self-existent God, Elohim, counseled with himself about creation, about the fall, and about the redemption of the human family that he would create, and the central thought of it all, the principal means of this redemption, is Jesus the Christ, the Word of God, the Word that was in the beginning with God. John 1 verse 1. Which is why it is written in Titus chapter 1, verses 2-3, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me, St. Paul, according to the commandment of God our Savior. This lets us see, saints of God, that the plan of redemption is bigger than any man God uses. It is bigger than Moses. It is bigger than Joshua. It is bigger than Elijah. It is bigger than Paul. It is bigger than William Branham. And it is bigger than John. Even though all these men have their respective and crucial positions within God's great plan of redemption. Therefore, we should be able to follow God in His revealed plot of redemption, borne by God's revealed logistics, which the plan of redemption conveys in the Word of God, the Holy Bible. That was why in the sermon he preached in 1962, titled Absolute, paragraph 164, Brother Branham made a fundamental point, a key truth of God, in his dealing with humanity in redemption, stating, God doesn't deal with groups of men. God deals with an individual, because men have different ideas. He is built up different in nature. God has to take that man, and mess him around, and pull him around, out of his own self, till he gets him in his, God's divine, nature. See. And then God deals with that person, and through that person. Look all down through the ages, Noah and Moses, the prophets, never two of them at the same time. One, constantly, all the way down through the age. Again, in the following year, in January 1963, in his message, titled, Spirit of Truth, page 4, paragraphs 23 to 25, Brother Branham also stated, what each life has been planted by the Master Life Giver, and he knows just how and what to do. And everything that he has placed here on earth is for his glory. The stars are for his glory. The winds are for his glory. The flowers are for his glory. And we, human beings, are the crowning of his glory. But it seems like that everything will obey him but man. Man just seems to. He has such a time, because that he was the only thing that fell. Everything else stayed in its original condition, but man fell. Therefore, God has a battle with him to get him to do what is right and to obey. And one of the great problems for God, down through the years, as the history of the church goes, is to find somebody that he can completely get in his control. He only needs one man. He's always used one man at a time. He only needs one man. He's always used one man at a time. We studied that last few nights. One man, not a group. He just wants one. That's all he needs. Course, two men would have two different ideas. He just takes one man, represents himself through that one person. Never did he do it otherwise than that. See, why is this so? It is for unity in global ministry workings, and unity of divine objective, divine purpose, and we all know that the ways of God and his logistics do not change. Church, in the final analysis, scripturally speaking, the truth remains that what God used Apostle Paul to commence, he is using Apostle John to conclude, because redemption has a beginning, a definite beginning, a definite beginning point, and redemption also has an end, a definite end point, and that end gives us the promised ministry of John, for under his lead apostolic ministry. The original efficient fivefold ministry will be constituted. The perfection of the universal bride of Jesus Christ will also be accomplished, the Lord using the Bible message of completion that John bears. And Christ will then break the seventh seal in heaven, signifying the end of Gentile redemption, ushering us into the silence in heaven about the space of half an hour, which is strictly a prophetic hour, when the ministry of the seven prophetic thunders will be ignited, and the rapture will come as Jesus returns for his bride. Gentile salvation having been fully achieved, all according to the infallible and immutable divine blueprint of the Word of God, which is God's absolute. In this seventh and final church age, someone brought us out, and another someone takes us up, Elijah, a man, brought us out, and John, also a man, takes us up, all by the leadership of the Spirit of Christ, as we have portrayed here on the extreme top right angle of our chart. Brother Amos points to the chart. We are going up, for we are meeting Jesus Christ in the clouds, right here. And it is this message of continuity, completion, and conclusion, the message of possession, that is now quietly making its way around the world, in total purity, divine richness, absolute depth, utmost simplicity, and with crystal clarity, a wholesome and complete message of the Holy Bible. is the message that guarantees revelatory unity among the universal nation of the bride. It is also this message that will produce the original pure seed efficient fire for ministry, and the original pure seed bride, who will be caught up to meet Jesus Christ, a royal bridegroom, in the air. That is precisely what this continuing and concluding Bible message of Christ was designed by God to accomplish, from way back in eternity, ever before there was Moses and Elijah. And it is settled that God will get his beloved son, a word bride, a virgin of the word, a universal nation of elect people, making up the royal bride of Jesus Christ. Just as God had promised Abraham in Genesis, the end reality of which is obtained at the coming marriage of the Lamb to his wife in heaven, as revealed in Revelation 19, verse 7 to 9. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Brother, we must pray. The Lord bless you.